This week on As the Quarter Turns, EA decides it will cut back on some of its less desirable behavior in Belgium, but maybe bringing its own Battle Royale army to the front. We'll bring you details on these and the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 762 of our show for this February the 3rd of 2019. And we are, of course, broadcasting live on Twitch TV as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VOG Network. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me in studio, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Loki?
I'm fine.
Yeah, nothing else going on today in American culture. Nothing whatsoever.
Owl celebration.
Yes, this big owl. Everybody's excited about owls. I don't know what's going on. And I don't know. Anyway, Obviously, look, all kidding aside, we know it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Well,
so.
it's Puppy Bowl Sunday. So,
and that it's Puppy Bowl, Kitty Bowl. If you watch the Hallmark Channel, they have that too. And there's one. I don't understand why people do this. But there's that show about the guy that just pops all the pimples. Like, I get grossed out just talking about it. They're running like a marathon of that, like the Pimple Bowl or something.
Oh,
today.
Man, my wife would love that.
Why am I not surprised that's something that like your wife is super into is those shows?
Loves that kind of garbage. And she watches like those YouTube channels too. And like, why?
All right. Well, thank you all out there for choosing this garbage to either watch live on Sunday night, or if you are a subscriber at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, you can watch whenever you want during the week. Or, as has always been the case for the last 16 and a half years we've been doing the show, you can listen on our podcast feed, available wherever, pretty much all the big places you get podcasts, like iTunes and Google Play and all that stuff. Just search for Orange Lounge Radio. Not here tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, but she's been on a little bit of a hiatus for work. She's been on break from the show for a couple months, but she is coming back next month, so that whole work situation is getting switched around, so that'll be great to have her back on the show full time.
Yeah,
we will hear from her a little later on in her regular segment, the Classic Game of the Week. So a few things. I have, like, in true Super Bowl Sunday fashion, I have like pre-kickoff topic stuff tonight.
So
I was watching Facebook, and you know, we're frenzies on Facebook, obviously. Yeah. And I'm friends with your wife as well. And your wife had posted that your kid actually, like, developed a computer game.
Well, I posted that, yes.
Oh, yeah, you posted. Okay, I thought it was you.
She posted a video.
And she posted the comment. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Your kid made a game. That's the point.
Yeah, so there's a new place that's across, like, near my work that's, I guess it's a chain called Code Ninja. Or Code Ninjas, I guess. And so what it is, it's kind of like
they spoke at one of those, remember with the SAC Indie Arcade events? We missed that. They spoke at one of those 1 year.
Did they?
That.
I think that was another one. But like they have, it's basically, they start off, I think, in Texas, and they've moved, they have a few down here. And the owner that of the one that's near my work, he also owns one in Folsom, but that one hasn't even opened up yet. This one just opened up, so they only have a small, like, class size of like 60 people. So I thought, you know, let's check it out, see what it is. So I got a tour of the place and had my son. They take him for like a 45-minute session to make something quick in Scratch. So that's what he did. He made like a quick game in Scratch and had a lot of fun doing it.
And so, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, how old's your kid? Eight?
He's eight.
Okay, so an 8-year-old made a game in 45 minutes. So it's like, it's not, you know, right? But I mean, still, I was kind of pretty impressed. I was like, wow, those must be like really good tools. So
yeah, Scratch is, it's a free thing. It's basically, it's by MIT, and you go to the website. It's like scratch.mit.edu, I think, or something like that. And it's code blocks, basically. So it's, you build a program by dragging blocks of code into like an area, and you create like your actors that are different sprites or whatever, and you can basically create like game loops and stuff like that with it. So it's very basic, but what's kind of cool about it is you build something and you can share it, and then people can look, you know, play your game and then remix it or look, see how you built it. And so it's like kind of to help promote like learning, how to program and stuff.
And to describe the game your kid made, again, an 8-year-old in 45 minutes, you basically have this little, like, you're this John Cena head.
You're a John Cena head,
he
yes.
He drew or something, I don't
know. He downloaded it off the internet,
okay,
yes.
You see a little John Cena head that you just move around with your mouse, and you're trying to avoid this.
It's like a football player that he took MS Paint, and he colored over, and he put I am evil in,
You know what? Awesome. You know, awesome. And so, but then my favorite part was that, like, when, because obviously, you know, at some point, you know, so you just make the thing chase you, and eventually it's going to catch a character, and then it plays the John Cena meme for whatever, like, John Cena.
I don't know why my kids are into the John Cena meme. I think they saw it in, like,
at least it wasn't flossing. Because you
were does that enough as it is. But, like, no, it wasn't flossing. It was, you know, they're in the John Cena memes. I don't know why. Because I'm like, do you even know who John Cena is? And they're like, no. I'm like, like, why?
It's just something I
saw.
Like,
he's a wrestler, and like, look, here he is. You know, he's wrestling, and then they're like, oh, is he like a bad guy because he's beating up this guy? I'm like, no, he's like a really nice guy. But like, well, this is just his intro song.
It's
and
so, they're 8. It doesn't.
They don't understand. But it's fine. They think it's funny. And so
For an 8-year-old, I was impressed. Like, I was thinking back. Okay. So, like, back in the day, you know, I'm obviously going to be aging myself here significantly, but I remember being 8 and kind of, like, tinkering around on the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
And I would write a program, which means I typed it in from the back of a magazine, but then I was super cool because, like, I changed this color to that color.
Well,
so
yeah,
I made it my
own. That's kind of what it's about. And so, like, the way the curriculum works is they start them off, like, they have a belt system because it's, like, a karate or, like, a martial arts type of class. And so they have a belt system that they have, which are actually these RFID wristbands that they have. So that's how they sign in when they come in. So it's, like, super cool. And then so they do they start off with Scratch to learn, like, the fundamentals of programming. And then they move on from there to JavaScript, which I think is through Minecraft. But he mentioned JavaScript. And then once they've done that for a few belts, it's Lua and making levels for Roblox. And then once you're done with that, and then you go into Unity, and then, like, once you've hit, like, black belt and stuff, and then beyond that, it's the kind of business side of game creation. So it's, like, how do I store passwords for my users? How do I market it on, you know, the App Store? How do I do this? How do I do this?
Okay, so, and somebody has to say the obvious here, which is... Your 8-year-old child finished a game before you did.
I wouldn't say it's finished, but yeah,
I played it. There was an experience from start to finish.
I played my game from start to finish. It doesn't mean it's done.
I got more out of your 8-year-old child's game than I did the Anthem demo last weekend. for what it's worth.
Yes.
Oh, where's my shade button? I need a shade button. I need to work on that as the OLR Live enhancement. But anyway. All that joking aside, that's really cool though. Like,
yeah, he's really excited about it. I mean, like, he had a really great time. We're just trying to.
I hope I'm not saying too much here, but you were talking about like that you're thinking about moving your child out of the like physical stuff.
Yeah,
the
gymnastics
in
into that. Yeah, because I don't want to pay for two different classes in there at the same time, so that's not going to work.
And computer programmers can like make a lot of money if that's something he wants to
do.
Well, it's not just like.
Game programming as well. So a lot of the curriculum is based on like playing games and being able to like, so they're not really realizing that they're learning stuff. It's supposed to be like really fun.
Yeah.
But then they also do robotics too.
That was like, that was like the Oregon Trail, Number Munchers and all those like edutainment things we would play on the PC, Math Blasters, you know, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, which is kind of like coming back again.
Yeah.
That all was stuff that existed to like, we were learning, but we were having fun when doing it. That even goes – some games that aren't necessarily meant to be edutainment. Like, I think the Civilization series, like, that very first game came out when I was in high school, and I learned a lot about different civilizations and, like, you know, the things that they built and what separated one from the other. I learned a lot about all that stuff simply from playing Civilization. So sometimes it's, like, this unintended cool little side effect.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and I'll just link the project in chat so you can actually try it out for yourself.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Want.
So you can check that out in our chat, which maybe we tweet. I could do a tweet or something.
We could put it in.
Hopefully the link doesn't delete. Oh, no. Good.
We can always put it in Discord later on, too.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Actually, somebody probably is doing it right now.
Yeah.
Tiger Claw will have it in there in like 5 seconds.
So, yeah. So he's really proud of like his game and stuff, even though it's like really simple. And And that's fine.
Again, guys, an 8-year-old did it in 45 minutes in his introductory class. But it's just still the whole, like, I made this.
Yes, exactly.
He made this.
He's like really, he's like super like excited. Just that's all he talked about all day.
That's
yesterday.
Awesome. When you're 40, it's awesome. It's like, hey, we've got this little show we do, and people actually watch
it. Well, and that's
it.
What he wants to do. He wants to follow in daddy's footsteps.
Aww.
So that's why he wants to do all this stuff.
Aww,
so
enjoy it while it lasts before he becomes a teenager and he's like,
well,
you know,
yeah,
everybody.
That's why I want him to go to this class, because then that way it's a good. I mean, like, if you're, let's assume that he's able to like complete the classes in the time that they have it set out, which is about 2 years to go through like up to a black belt and stuff, and then you're fully like knowledgeable in programming, you know, by the age of, you know, by 10 or 12, you know, by the time he gets through like some of the other stuff.
I feel like by the time your child finishes this program, we will have him on this show, because the show will still be going, to promote whatever app he just released.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a thing.
So
this is kind of neat.
It'll be fun. Like, yeah, I mean,
maybe
down
he
for
can
it.
Teach you a thing or two about finishing things.
That's just, yeah.
Oh, you guys could do a game together. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
There you go. See? All right. Anyway, a big hello, of course, to our live chatters. We do again. We're live on Twitch at VOG Network. Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Although Bobby does like an annual thing for the Superb Owl with his friends. And it's like that whole, this is my weekend, I see my friends. So he's off tonight. Understandably, I know a lot of people are distracted by sports tonight. You know, I know in years past on this show, I've given the Super Bowl a lot of shit. But, like, you know, I can't take back the things I said 13 years ago. But, like, you know, I kind of have a new perspective on all that stuff now. And you can thank RuPaul's Drag Race for it. Because, like, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race and get really excited about it on Friday night. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people that get super into RuPaul's Drag Race. You could just Google like a video for what happened on this last elimination, or so that I'm not spoiling things. Go something that happened last year. Google, because you'll know how to spell this, I'm sure. Ben De La Creme self eliminates bar reaction. That was last year, and just watch how people go fucking crazy. That is Super Bowl for me. Does that make sense?
No, okay, that makes no sense to me.
So, other people don't give a shit, and that's okay. I like my thing, you like your thing. Have fun. Just as long as you're still supporting OLR, one way or the other. So anyway, in the chat room, let's see. It's a little sparse tonight. Thank you for you guys for being here. But Tiger Claw says John Cena. I can't even see him. That was before the game was posted. That's I think a play on the name there.
Well, no, it's a meme as well that you can't see John Cena.
Oh, okay. I thought he burst through the door, and that's when the music plays on.
Well, that's true, but this is another meme altogether.
Oh, okay. I only know the one. All right. I guess I'm not cool. 8-year-olds know more than I do. JD says flossing is only okay when Ted Danson does it. That must be a Good Place reference, and I'm so behind on that show. It's really
I caught up only because I saw people talking about it online. I'm like, no spoilers. So
I haven't seen the season at all.
Okay, I'm not gonna say anything, but I'm just saying that I finished the season. Just
I heard
so
it's
that,
good. I heard it's good. I'm trying to, because the twist for the first season got ruined for me way in advance. So I really want to try to not get spoiled. Akuma JP in chat says, nope, for international listeners. So yes, that is a great reminder, is that, you know, there's folks in other countries that participate with this program. We love having you guys here, and they could give a shit about American football, which is totally fine.
It's all about the trailers.
That's true, the movie trailers.
Well, they had like a TV spot for, was it Avengers Endgame, but it was kind of
I got excited because I see it all through Twitter. That's how I get all my information. The new Twilight Zone hosted by Jordan Peele had a little teaser, and I thought,
yeah.
I don't usually get excited about reboots, but that
one.
Well,
this was supposed to have the trailer for Toy Story 4 at the end, I think. And then also there was, what else? There was one other one that was supposed to be.
Any video game related trailers? No video games advertising?
I don't know.
You would think a big one like Anthem or something would try
Fallout
to put
76,
a spot.
Fallout
76. All right.
Well, and also, was it they're supposed to be playing, allegedly, the... well, I heard on Twitter that there's supposed to be a PewDiePie commercial.
Why?
I don't know. You know what? I'm kind of warming up to him. I've watched a little bit more of his stuff nowadays, and he's just weird. But
don't forget, he's done some really shitty things. Just I realize you... Digging up the 10-year-old dirt on people can sometimes be, you know, questionable. But that guy, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. We have other stuff to get into tonight. Let's get into our kickoff topic for tonight, which is about one of those games that I referenced that I thought would have a Super Bowl ad a little bit. I mean,
and maybe it will. I don't know.
This is about this game, but this is a this is also about a trend in gaming I want to get into.
And it's a trend mainly we see it a lot more with EA, because EA has all these other services that they want you to subscribe to play games early. So, of course, you know, they have their whole Origin Access program, which I believe is through PC, and then they have the Origin Access Premier program. And then they have their EA Access program, which is on Xbox One. So all of this garbage that makes it very confusing to when you're going to be able to play Anthem. But don't worry. Thanks to the modern world of spreadsheets, we have a way to figure out when you'll be able to play it. So, for example, they have, you know, talking about demo early access on February 1st. Everybody gets to play that. But if you want early access to the full game, that's coming February 15th, only if you have Origin Access Premier. And then if you're just a plebeian that has just regular Origin Access Basic or EA Access, you're going to get to play the game only the first 10 hours on February 15th. And then, of course, you know, for everybody, just those noobs out there that just don't want to pay up, you know, you can play the full game on February 22nd.
And I think with a game like Anthem, because if I'm not mistaken, it's similar to Destiny, where you're like leveling up a character. You're trying to build, you're trying to progress.
Yeah.
And so that whole like e-penis competition comes into play, where it's like, I have to be the level 99 character in the first week, or, you know, what am I even doing playing this garbage? Like, and then people do, and I've been guilty of that in the past too, with things like, oh, I don't know, World of Warcraft expansions or Final Fantasy 14, even, where it's like, I've got to be max level ASAP. But I don't know, I think I hit a certain point for myself where, like, I just kind of learned to let that go, and I don't, like, I don't have to be the first.
Well,
it's fine, because I'm never going to be the best. There's always going to be some.
Ideally, you would want to be in there early to play stuff, but realistically, based on what we've seen so far, good luck getting in on those servers.
Well, I didn't even try this weekend, to be fair. I don't know if it went bad
or
what happened.
You'll have several days of endless loading.
Did any listeners try to do Anthem this weekend? I'm kind of curious in our chat. I know we have a slightly smaller turnout than usual tonight. Actually, it's not too bad. But, yeah, if anybody out there watching has feedback on how Anthem went for you this weekend. I'm seeing mixed stuff on Twitter. Some of my friends seem super into it, and some are like, eh. So, you know, I've expressed my thoughts, and I don't want to be a downer for those people that are really excited about Anthem. So, you know, props. I hope you are having a good time. I hope it was playable. But this, going back to this, the whole distribution of the game and how we're in this, you know, in the year 2019. Well, you know, this has been a trend.
It's player choice. We're giving you player's choice on when you can play Anthem. You can choose to play it early if you give us more money, or you could choose to play it later, you know.
It's so interesting.
It's not even early. It's just that we're delaying the release to pay, you know, get you guys to pay us more money.
It's so interesting because so often, you know, as we've had the whole like video games are art and should be recognized as art, we've really talked about, I think, in many ways how video games and movies are not extraordinarily different in the way we kind of like consume them, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, you know, they're very similar, like adjacent industries. Obviously, movies have a theater, you know, there are differences, you know, but I think we have a lot of comparisons, like maybe video games ought to be rated similarly to movies and things like that. You know, we've had a lot of those conversations in the past. But the movie industry, can you imagine if it was like, but if you were a part of our secret program, you can see the movie 2 weeks early. Like, you can see the new Avengers 2 weeks early if you pay Marvel $10 a month for the unlimited Marvel thing. Like, is that something
they do that now, though?
Do they really?
They do that with digital. So digital, you can get that earlier if you pay digitally, because then they're getting all of the money instead of having to pay money to put out physical copies.
Oh,
or you can wait a couple weeks.
When, like, the movie comes out on Blu-ray, it's like, own it digitally today, that type of thing.
Well, it's own it digitally now and then pay, or you can buy it in Blu-ray, a few weeks from now or something like that.
Okay, so I guess we are starting to see some similarity. All right, well, with that being said, is this so awful? Is this the new norm? If other industries are going this way,
too? It's awful because it's EA. And because I know it doesn't come from a place of, oh, generosity for the player. It comes from, like, oh, look at all these services that we're running that you pay money for to play a game early.
Okay, going into our chat at Twitch TV, because I asked for some feedback on the Anthem. Questbuster says, I was actually able to get in on PS4 Anthem, but I also got server disconnects. Sometime during the co-op dungeon, it would sometimes dump me out with servers shut down. Still, it worked. Was actually able to join games and co-op largely without issues on PS4. Kind of worried about the open world experience, though. It's pretty, but also pretty boring if the demo is anything to go by. VG Realness says, I tried, but the game refused to load on my primary monitor, 4K. I tried to fix it and gave up. I had a similar problem. It would load on my 4K monitor, but it performed like ass. Like, it was really bad. And obviously, I know to turn the 4K resolution down to 1080p. And then when I would move it to my second, because I'm weird, okay? I have a 4K monitor, and my secondary is like a 1080p, right? So when I move it to my secondary monitor, it works fine. I have no performance, and I don't change anything. It's just the one monitor versus the other, even though I'm telling it to run at 1080p on the 4K monitor, which is a thing you can do, right? So it's just, it's weird.
What happens if you unhook the other monitor?
What do you mean? Like, just unhook?
Like, so they only have a primary monitor.
Why do I have to unhook a fucking monitor to play a top?
I don't know, but yeah. I'm just curious.
Why are we even exploring this?
This is more of a science experiment.
I shouldn't have to MacGyver my fucking computer.
Well, it's just like, you know, I understand that, but it's just like I understand it more, though, with my laptop, because the dual GPUs, you have this stupid integrated graphics and...
Sorry, I just say, VG Realness says, yeah, it was fine on my second monitor. So here's my question. VG Realness, do you also use mismatched resolutions like I do? I wonder if that's – maybe we just – we're doing some bug sleuthing here on OLR for EA. Aren't we nice? Let's see. Some other comments in chat. She-Hulk says, no Anthem. More my backlog of games is so big it's stressing me out. Hashtag mood. Renji221 says, part of me is still kind of waiting for EA to screw Anthem up somehow. Well,
I'm sure there's not long to wait.
And Only Sonic says, this stuff is why I'm not a fan of PC gaming. I mean, it's a fair retort.
It's on all consoles. Well,
it is. You can download the PS4, the Xbox One. You can do that. But I like to keyboard mouse things if it's going to be a shooty game, which, yes, I know you can do that on an Xbox One now. So maybe that's the happy little medium there. But I just...
No, you're right. It's just, it's lazy.
I should be able to run it on my PC.
It's lazy bullshit that this should have been ironed out, but they're going to say, well, it's a beta or whatever.
It's a beta. It's free. You know what? But you're trying
to. It's not free.
You're trying to. Well, the weekend thing this weekend. Yeah. But you're trying to sell a product. So, you know, I mean, how much, you know, going to our pal who we adore, Bobby Blackwolf, how much shit did he give Ni No Kuni based on that demo? Which even I loved Ni No Kuni as a game, but the demo was terrible because it didn't tell you like what the fuck to do, and it was really like, yeah, that demo was bad, right? But like the game ended up being really good. But like, you know, when you play that demo and that's your impression of the game, like, it does change minds.
So if you can't beat the Anthem demo by loading it up because it won't load for you, does that mean that you shouldn't buy the game?
Well, I kind of wasn't really planning on it anyway, not to be a bitch, but you guys all know how I feel about how EA treated Mass Effect, and I'm still a little salty about it, and you can tell me to get over it, and I don't want to. But I went into the demo. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give it a chance. I'm gonna just, maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I'll, you know, I didn't like Mass Effect the very, very first time I played it, and then I learned to love it later. So maybe I'll give it, and then all that other stuff happened, and I was like, reclaiming my time. I'm done.
There's no loot boxes or anything in this so far, but what they do have, of course, is their premium currency. And the one thing I saw, and granted, it's still early, but there was a screenshot leaked or something of the storefront with the pricing for like some of the different skins and stuff. And they're like wanting like $20 for a skin for one of your suits or whatever, which is stupid. I mean, I understand it's cosmetic, but it's, I mean, if that's the pricing, that's ridiculous. I mean, you don't have to buy it, but it's still stupid.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I feel like this has just been the rag on Anthem segment, and I really don't want to do
that.
It's
a rag on EA segment. This
is fair. But what about the staggered releases? Like, is this something that we could see Nintendo doing in the future, or other companies? Like, you know, this might be a new norm.
Activision, I could see doing this, and I want to say that they probably have done this before, but...
If you want to do a... Has World of Warcraft ever done early? No, I don't think it has, but Final Fantasy XIV has. They've done the whole pre-order and you can play the expansion 3 days early or something like that, you know, but
yeah,
it's, I don't know.
But like, I think I can see Activision doing this cause they're kind of scummy as well. I don't see Nintendo doing something like this. They can't, I don't think they can, they don't have complicated SKUs like Ubisoft has, like a really ridiculous thing where you normally need like a spreadsheet to see what you're getting in each of their collector's editions or platinum and gold or whatever the hell that they're doing. So I can see them doing maybe something like that, but not Nintendo. I don't think Nintendo has enough SKUs to be able to say, oh, well, you play this early and if you do this service, you're going to get it early. It would be nice to maybe, I don't know if you're paying for their online service to get some more perks with that, but I don't see them doing that.
What if it was a game that you were really into that went this route? Would you want to get in on it early? Like, let's say they do something that's right up your alley. They do like a new Twisted Metal or a new, oh no, Earth Defense. I don't know what kind
of
thing.
Well, new Saints Row 2. Okay.
A Saints Row 2 remaster or whatever. Yeah. But you've got to be a subscriber to their service or whatever to do it. Would you do it?
It depends on what I'm getting for that and whether it's something I'm really looking forward to. It has to be like something like Grand Theft Auto 5 level. Like, I really need to be in there as early as possible to play that. Because a lot of stuff nowadays, you know, it's just like, I know I'm not going to get to it right away. Even if, like, I were to get into something early at that, it's probably not going to be, I'm not going to get to play it. So it had to be like some really exceptional thing. Like, I know like Crackdown 3 is right around the corner, but I'm not really doing anything to get into that early. I'll just play it when it comes out.
Well, Microsoft kind of has their own thing where it's like if you are a monthly.
Yeah, the Game Pass thing, you get the game. Which,
but it's not, there's no date barrier there.
But yeah, exactly. You just get the game. But like, I'm telling you, if that stuff was on PC, I would totally pay for that because that's pretty awesome. And if I could get, you know, some of those games that they have that aren't really on PC, you know, to play on PC, that would be nice. You know, like some of the backwards compatible things that I have. Sadly, they just don't have that. But yeah.
Renji221 in our chat says 2K already did it with NBA 2K and Red Dead Redemption 2 with the Ultimate Edition to play a couple days early, I think.
Well, the Red Dead Redemption thing, that was more in, it wasn't really it was more of like their online service. It was a beta. It was also beta testing. I mean, technically, it's still in beta. So Red Dead Online was earlier. But even that, like, I technically could get in early on that because I had technically pre-ordered the game, even though I paid for it the day before it came out. So technically, I pre-ordered it, and I was in on I played it the first day it came out. So I was eligible to play it the first day. But to even to today, I have not played Red Dead Online. Although I did watch some videos of Red Dead Redemption 2, and I got to say that there's some stuff that looks pretty fun in there, so I may have to go back to that game. But no, I have not played online at all with that.
She-Hulk, Tan in our chat, has an interesting comment on Crackdown saying, if I am reading Phil Spencer right, Crackdown 3 will suck. He has pretty much already apologized for it in interviews.
I don't have high expectations for Crackdown, so it's fine. I don't care. It's Crackdown, and that's what
it
is.
The absurdity is part of the charm.
It's like, let's be honest, like Crackdown.
But what if it's like Bethesda buggy?
It wasn't that like polished to begin with. Like Crackdown 1, which is kind of fun because you get the blows.
Loki's apologizing for it too.
Well, no, like it. Seriously, it's Crackdown. If it's as long as it's Crackdown with Terry Crews in it, I'm good. I don't need anything else. There's no real story in it. It's just like you're blowing shit up and that's it. There's no story. I mean, there was sort of a twist in the first one, but then like they kind of, I don't know if they, I can't remember two very well, but did they like retcon that or something? But like, I don't know. But two is basically the same as one, except it's slightly less annoying to find some of the orbs. I never did find all of them in the first one.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about some of the games that we have been playing this week in a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? And I'm sure a lot of gaming podcasts you listen to do something like this, and we're no different. So what kind of video games have you been playing this week, Logi?
I'm horrible. I haven't played anything this week. What? But I'll tell you what. So
you played your kid's game?
Yeah, I did play that a little bit. So I did, like, I did download Kingdom Hearts 3, so I am going to play that at some point soon. I meant to play on my cabinet this week. I really wanted to stream. I got pretty sick, though, this week, so I had, like, a really bad head cold.
Yeah, I can hear you. Your voice.
Yeah, I'm still very
little...
congested. So, okay. Like, I'm just getting over that now. So I did not feel – I felt extremely tired, plus I couldn't breathe. So that combined with playing really hard edits, probably not the best thing, not being able to breathe in a high heart rate. Yeah. Hey, look, he collapsed. Cool. So I haven't been able to do that yet. I am prepping. I've been spending my time, though, while I've been sick, finding Skyrim mods, all of the worst mods I could find, and I'm going to put them together in a segment I like to call Completely Ordinary Game of Skyrim that I will be hopefully streaming next week, because my wife's leaving on a business trip, so I can actually stream without annoying her. And so I will try to put that all together it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, so we'll see. That's the plan, at least. I wanted to do it Skyrim Special
Edition. That's
funny.
Your spouse is going to be gone next week. Mine is going to be gone in 2 weeks. Because I don't know if it came up on the show, but Alan got a job, so we're all very happy. So, but he's doing like training away for like a week. So
yeah, so I'm going to see about doing some streaming on my PC for Skyrim. It'll be the vanilla old Skyrim, because Special Edition doesn't have dumb enough shit that I need. Only the dankest things are the original Skyrim, so... That's where we're going.
Fair enough. Dankest memes only.
Yes. All right. all of the garbage that's like, I am scraping the bottom of that barrel. So if it is annoying and stupid, it is going in.
As long as it has the Mirandy Macho Man Savage mod for the
I'm torn between that one or the Thomas the Tank Engine. So my kid's voting fair. Thomas. I kind of wanted the maybe Macho Man Randy Savage. It's hard. I wish I could do both.
It sounds like your kids need to learn more about wrestling as it is, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't even know who Macho Man Randy Savage is, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
That's all unfortunate.
Right. My gaming week. I've been playing a lot of the same old stuff. Still playing World of Warcraft. Got my Shaman up to 115, so it's kind of like my secondary character I've been leveling. Been playing Diablo 3, thanks to a friend. I got power leveled in the latest season, so I got right to level 70, and I've been working myself on getting all the unlocks for the season achievement, and so my wizard got the full six-piece garb, and I'm just kind of, you know, doing what you do in Diablo 3 and kind of grinding from there, so I've been working on that. As far as new games go, I think, like a lot of you, I was also jumping into Kingdom Hearts 3 this week. So I did play for a little bit. Probably not as much as some of you out there, but I did play through the introductory world and a good chunk of what comes after that.
To be fair, I did watch a 30-minute video trying to explain the backstory of all of the Kingdom Hearts games, which I watched that, and I still don't know what the fuck is going on.
Here's the thing. Actually, one of the first things I would say about Kingdom Hearts 3 is that they do have – you can either start the game right away, and you'll be presented with these at a very, very early point in the game. Or you can access it in the main menu. It's like Memory Archive or something like that. They have these little short movies you can watch. And I mean, they are short. They were like maybe 3 to 5 minutes like each. And there's like maybe five of them that kind of explain what happens in certain games. They're not telling you it's about this game, but they're kind of like, you know that, oh, this is the one that's about, you know, a Chain of Memories. This is the one that's about the first game. So you kind of learn about the plot. And I think they did a pretty decent job, considering Kingdom Hearts always gets, you know, a lot of shit for its complicated plot. I think they did a pretty good job putting all the need-to-knows, like, in that little package. So, you know, because that was one of the things I was honestly worried about. And, like, if I was Square Enix and I hadn't put out a main game in the series for a long time, I think it would be a decent thing to be concerned about, is that, you know, people are not going to remember what was going on in this series. So they did a good job kind of like, here's the stuff you need to know to go right into the new game and go from here. So,
yeah, because I had the option of doing, they had like the all of the Kingdom Hearts collection thing, or you could do 3. And I'm like, I'm just going to do 3. I don't want to play and spend hours on the other games.
Oh, like all that. Yeah, yeah. Well, then what's... Okay, so here's what's really funny. I don't think this is really a spoiler, you guys, because it's something that happens in the early point of the game. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about it, because my thought is you probably have played it at this point if you're going to be sensitive about a spoiler that's no more than 30 minutes into the game. And it's not that big a deal. So when you kind of finish the first little set of, like, every Kingdom Hearts starts with, like, the stained glass thing where you're kind of going, like, are you going to be a warrior, a magician? And Kingdom Hearts 3 kind of has its own spin on it. Then you get to the end of that, and you get a title screen that comes up, and it says, Kingdom Hearts 2.9. And, like, you're just like, are you fucking with me, Square Enix? Like, what is going on here? So, but the whole, and I see what they're doing. And then the first world you go to is Olympus, which is one you've been to before, but the story is kind of set up in a way to try to explain, like, this is why you have reset back to level one. This is why you're kind of starting over on this adventure that you've been going on several times already. So they kind of use the Olympus chapter to kind of set that up. And then once you beat the Olympus chapter, you get Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, the, and I think technically you see a Kingdom Hearts 3 title card, like, really early on, but you get the one that you know is like, okay, now the game's starting, like, after you kind of beat that introductory world. And then you start to make your way to your first gummy ship experience, which I really wish they would just make those things, like, optional, and you could just, I mean, I guess they are to an extent. You don't have to sit there and play the whole thing. You can just kind of, like, fly through exactly where you want to go, but, you know, that RPG, gotta catch them all, collect everything person in me is like, but I've got to play the gummy ship stuff, even though it's not fun, really. But those are really the only reads I have. The game's really great. Otherwise, I mean, it's kind of like Akuma JP in our chat says, Kingdom Hearts has story. Wow. And yeah, exactly right. It's like, you know, a lot of people are just there to play, like, Square Enix action RPG meets Disney. And that's, like, totally cool and okay. So that's, you know, from that element, I'm having a good time.
We'll just have Square Enix team up with Nintendo. We'll do a new Super Mario RPG, but in the Kingdom Hearts style.
It still
just reuse the engine.
It still blows my mind that this game isn't on the Switch. I mean, yes, I understand why the Switch is not as powerful. And it's not like you can't say they haven't done Kingdom Hearts on Nintendo because, like, Dream Drop Distance, that was a 3DS game. But still, I'm just,
yeah,
it does feel a little bit like, man.
But it has trouble. It's Unreal 4, and it has trouble, like, actually, you know, keeping frame rate up, especially, like, I saw, like, the best way they're describing the play is 1080p on the PlayStation 4 Pro, which is what I'm probably going to end up doing. So you get 60 frame per second frame rate on there.
Now, a good comment from our chat here. I mean, y'all have good comments, but this one I want to read here. Renji221 says, or with them putting it on Xbox for the first time, talking about, you know, laying the foundation. Yeah. That's a very good point, because you are going to have people that, you know, I don't know. Like, is there a lot of people out there that, well, I guess.
Did they do the collection for the Xbox?
They didn't.
Oh, that's
yeah,
sucks.
Right? You would have thought they would have put the collections out on Xbox.
And, maybe they will later.
Maybe they will later. Maybe it's a time thing because Final Fantasy eventually, you know, all those are, like, making their way out to Xbox or have at this point. So you would think those earlier Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah, you would kind of want it for, like, I would think.
And I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, is there anybody who would want to just start with 3 when they don't know anything about the series? Then I have to remember, like, okay, if you were, like, 8 years old when the last game came out and you're 20 now, maybe you are curious about it for the first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you didn't really get to play a lot about, just think about that. Think about that. If this had been the year Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, your kid would be 20 years old before the next game would come out. Isn't that something? Anyhow, let's see. Big Red Pimp in chat says, I've been going through Kingdom Hearts blind, the shame, recently, and I'm still waiting for the I get it moment. You're going to be waiting a while. Just saying. Just turn the brain off and just pretty Disney, fun, fucking heal me, Donald. Just enjoy it for what it is.
I can't imagine it as a movie series because it's just like, I just watching like, like them, well, we explain the plot is just like, this is still so confusing. Like, if you have to, like, lay out what the plot is.
We talked a little bit about it on the last show.
What the hell?
Not having a Kingdom Hearts TV show seems like an extremely missed opportunity. But I guess somebody had said on the last show in chat that an anime was explored for the XD or whatever, wherever the Tron anime ended up, that nobody could see it because it was on this kind of obscure channel. But maybe they'll try again with their Disney Plus, or I can't.
That's the only reason I want to play 2, and I didn't play 2 because it has the Tron.
It has Tron, yeah. It has Space Paranoids, yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, no Tron in Kingdom Hearts 3. It I think it relies a little more on the Pixar side of things.
Yeah.
Not all, but
it's Pixar and new Disney Animation Studio, so all the CG things.
So, I mean, but I, you know, I haven't been able to play that far into the game yet, but just kind of reading friends' impressions and stuff, it sounds like there's some pretty exciting stuff there. It sounds like, I will say, some of you guys have probably seen like the side-by-side comparisons. There's obviously a part in the game where you're in the frozen world. We know that that's a world. Mm-hmm. And there's a part, of course, if they're going to go to Frozen Land, somebody's going to sing Let It Go, because of course they're going to, right? But they actually do it very similar to the way they do it in the movie. And there's this like side-by-side comparison tweet that was going around that shows it in the movie and shows it in Kingdom Hearts. And like graphically, they look
well in the Pirates identical. Of the Caribbean level.
Yeah,
I mean the screenshots from that look pretty incredible too. So,
but it's just really neat that like it's being rendered in that engine and it looks like the movie. And obviously, there's very subtle changes where like when she throws off her cape at the end in the movie, it just kind of like goes off into space. But in the game, like it flies over Sora and Donald. And they're kind of looking at it as so like there's those kind of subtle changes to put it in Kingdom Hearts. But it's really something to watch. That like wow, this is you have to remember like what powerful little computers these. Things we have in our living room are that do this these kinds of things. And I hear Tangled, I haven't again played it, but it's basically the movie.
I haven't even watched Tangled. I've never seen Tangled.
Oh, so. Tangled was great. I love Tangled.
That's the only like the only animated Disney movie recently that I have not seen.
That's interesting. It's probably the only one I have seen. I never did see Frozen really the whole way through. I feel like I've seen enough bits and pieces.
You need to see Big Hero 6 is pretty awesome.
I do. Oh, I did see Wreck-It Ralph, of course, but I didn't see the sequel. I need to see it. Oh,
sequel's on Netflix now, I think.
Oh, is it? Let's check it out. But anyway, the whole okay. The one thing about Kingdom Hearts is kind of like I don't know. It's just interesting. It is an awful lot of fun, but you know you're kind of button mashing, right? Because just X X X to kill mobs, and maybe you're doing some parrying and blocking. But a lot of times you'll get these triangle moves that come up. Like if you attack a certain enemy, then it's going to do an attraction move. And these attraction moves are extra as fuck. It is exactly what we come to know and love about like Final Fantasy, like summons. Like imagine like Knights of the Round, but it's like fucking they just call it Splash Ride because it's not really Big Thunder Mountain, but it's one of those inner tube rides. What is they have one at Great America near us, and I can't remember the name of it.
Rip-Roaring Rapids in Great America.
Rip-Roaring Rapids, okay?
So but they have like the – it's
Because I don't think
– and California Adventure has one. It's like
you're right. California Grizzly.
Yeah, Grizzly something or other. I don't remember.
Great Grizzly Run or something like that. You're right. They do have one. So I don't know why they didn't call it that, but they didn't. But anyway, so it's like, oh, it comes out, and then you ride around in it. You control it. So you just keep running over the monsters to do damage. And then when you hit the finish button, because you only have so much time before it runs out. So if you hit the finish button before it runs out, you do the whole thing in reverse really fast, and then you run over them all again, and there's just water effects everywhere. Like it's so extra. Like there's a and they happen a lot. It's like every time I'm fighting things, it's like, oh, press X to have Donald set off fireworks, or press triangle to have the teacups come out, and you're spinning around in teacups, kind of doing a very similar thing. It's really extra, but I kind of love it. And there's something really satisfying about, like, you know, in one of the boss fights, and I think this was in some of the early previews, you press the triangle and, like, Big Thunder Mountain shows up and that whole thing. Like, that's during one of the boss fights. And it feels really fucking satisfying, even though you're kind of like, I'm really not doing anything but button mashing, but it feels really good.
It's all about feels.
Yeah. But I'm not even really playing on easy mode. I'm just playing on, like, normal, whatever they call it in that game. There is a harder level that I guess probably presents more of a challenge. I'm just not playing in that particular mode right now. So
was Wreck-It Ralph in the second game as well, or was that just
mean Kingdom Hearts 2?
Yeah, did they have a level for Wreck-It Ralph in there? I know he's like a summon or something in this one.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph is too new of a move. You know how old Kingdom Hearts 2 is?
No.
Your best chance would have been in maybe Dream Drop Distance or something, but no. The Wreck-It Ralph is a summon is the only. I have yet to see that one. That one has not come up in my rotation yet. But there's been, you know, considering I'm not that far into the game, I've seen quite a variety so far of those little summon things. It's pretty. They're pretty cool. So anyway, going to our chat, let's see. Akuma JP in chat says, I was asking my friends if they want to see Wreck-It Ralph 2, and they were like, what? I forget in Japan they call it Sugar Rush. I didn't know they changed the name of the movie there. I guess that makes sense. I mean, the name Wreck-It Ralph probably gets, like, because there's a little kind of, you know, it probably gets lost in translation a little bit, kind of play on words. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, and SJ100 Matt reminding us, Kingdom Hearts 2 was 2005. And Questbuster pointing out Disney Animal Kingdom has a water ride like that. I figured, and Disney has a water park in Orlando too, right? So I figured there had to be a ride like it. But it is interesting. They don't necessarily always name the rides. There's also a I feel like all the Disney rides are based off things I've done at other theme parks, because there's a pirate ship one too, where you spin around and around. But like, Disney doesn't have a ride where the boat goes upside
down. No, but Great American does. But,
well, I don't think they do anymore.
They used to. They
used to, yeah, the Revolution. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But like that, so it's weird. I'm like, why am I doing a Great America ride at Disneyland? But then I'm like, well, maybe it's a thing in the Orlando park.
It's
or
like
one
in
the
Summoning Drop Zone. Wait a second.
Or in Japan or something, because, you know, there's more places than just Disneyland. Does anybody – is there a Disney park that has the boat that goes upside down like it does in the game? Like, there's rides like that at the State Fair. It's a kind of a common ride, but I just think it's too thrilling for Disney. Disney doesn't have a lot of upside down stuff. They have some, like the Incredicoaster you saw. Has
yeah,
that,
that's
that
pretty
that
much the only
very
thing.
Gentle loop. It's a very – like – If I had a friend that was like nervous of roller coasters and the whole upside down, I would recommend that as a first one, because even though it looks big, it actually helps how it feels, because it's a very gradual turn and it doesn't feel so like crazy. So JD points out Disney has two water parks in the Orlando area. Akuma JP says not that I can remember. Questbuster says you're in for a treat. There are so many attraction attacks. I'm pretty far in the game and keep finding more. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Tiger Claw says, by the time we get to Kingdom Hearts 4, we'll probably see Marvel and Star Wars being added.
I hope so. And Indiana Jones. Let's do Indiana Jones in there, too.
I would say there's probably going to be 500 more spinoff games before there's Kingdom Hearts 4. But
I'm fine with the whole Marvel Tron spinoff for...
Yeah, why not just instead of necessarily having – and I'm a big fan of Kingdom Hearts, so I'm not saying this to be me, but why does it have to like be a Kingdom Hearts? Why can't it just be like Adventures in Marvel or like
we can
a Star
just do
Wars
some
game?
DLC content for Kingdom Hearts 3 and bonus side story
shit.
I don't think
they designed it to really do DLC, which is okay. So Big Red Pimp points out, if we ever get to Kingdom Hearts 4, some of us will be nearing 70. True. And the show will probably still be going. So anyway – all right, that's enough about our gaming weeks. But we had to talk about Kingdom Hearts 3. Come on, I know it's the game that a lot of you are playing this week. If you're not, you know what's interesting? I've seen an interesting little Twitter meme that's like, some households are Kingdom Hearts 3, some households are Resident Evil 2 Remake. And I know that Dark Sakura, they've been playing the Resident Evil 2 Remake. They're
and
not
some,
really playing Kingdom Hearts 3 right now.
And some households are Piranha Plant.
Yeah, that is another big thing that's been going on this week that I have yet to touch, but I need to go back there and
still didn't pick
it.
Up the game. So I'm going to have to buy my DLC.
Buy it. Bummer.
I'll wait. I'll wait because I just don't have time to play it.
All right. Well, let's get into some news. There's some more news going on in the gaming industry this week. Let's get to it.
Yes. Speaking of Nintendo, there's going to be a new game coming to phones soon, and that's Dr. Mario. They're going to be working on a Dr. Mario game with, I guess, this Japanese company called Line. And it's going to be a game coming to Android and iOS early summer 2019. I'm assuming it's just going to be a puzzle game like Dr. Mario. I think you kind of know what to expect. So we'll have to wait and see what that's all about. And, of course, you may remember that they were working on a Mario Kart game for phones as well. It was supposed to be coming out this March in Japan. However, now it's been pushed back to summer, and it has the title of Mario Kart Tour. So we'll have to wait a little longer to see what that is.
Nintendo's had a little bit of a rocky road with mobile, so maybe they're just kind of pushing it back to get it right, take a little more time with it.
They said,
turn up the graphics.
The delay was to improve quality and expand the post-release service content.
That's the second news we've had in a very short period of time where Nintendo kind of made a quality call and pushed something back. Very interesting.
Well, I'm glad someone's doing it, because there are certain companies that sure as heck don't know what they're doing.
It's true. It's very true. So, all right. How do you feel about a Dr. Mario mobile game? My control weird.
That's I don't know.
That's the only thing I don't like about it, is that there's no tangible controller. And so, I mean, of course, you tap to go left, tap to go right, tap to rotate. I'm sure that'll like be a thing, but I don't know. I just feel like maybe they'll... I don't know.
You can drag it around and then tap to like rotate.
Maybe now that the phones are all fancy and have that haptic stuff, maybe you can slide left or right and you'll feel the haptic click for every space that you move it. That seems kind of like it might be neat. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, whenever like puzzle, like Luminous is on mobile and it's great because it has shine in and some of those, but then it's like trying to play is kind of, it's not the greatest on mobile sometimes, but whatever. Anyway. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says that Dr. Mario mobile game will probably be microtransaction linked hell. JD says, why do you say that? I guess it's probably too early to know. I mean, I don't know. How could you microtransaction a game like Dr. Mario unless maybe it was like pay to go against people online? But I would imagine a lot of it's going to have to be like cosmetic stuff.
I guess.
I mean, how could you pay gate Dr. Mario unless they just charge? They kind of go the route that they did for Mario Run, and they just say, you got to pay $10 to play the game.
Unless it's going to be set up like more of a puzzle game, kind of like a Candy Crush or something like that, where you have to break certain configurations
You gave that totally realistic possibility.
Like, you know, configurations of viruses and stuff like that, and they can have more colors. And
you're right.
So it would just be like, oh, you play and then you have to pay if you want to skip the level because it's too hard or something.
Or you can grind out the item. It just takes you forever, that type of thing. You know, on a completely random tangent, I always tease Alan because there's this Sailor Moon Match 3 game that he plays a lot on the tablet. And it's the same type of thing. You can pay to do it faster, but like he'll grind out like a bunch of matches during a holiday event to get whatever it is he wants. Apparently, the news came in this week or last week, they're shutting that game off.
Oh, no.
I know. It was like, why? It seems like, I'm like, God, you play that game a lot. That's sad. But I learned about it through Rama from Anime Jam Session. He posted, I think he was teasing, it might have been his co-host about it or something. I don't know. But I just saw it on Rama's Facebook and I was like, Alan, isn't this the game that you play? And he's like, yeah, what the hell? He's a little heated about it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's sad. All right. I'm trying to read a little more of this kind of little debate. Not so much debate, but just discussion going on in chat. And thank you. Oh, Rama's in chat and says Sailor Moon drops. That was what it was called. Tiger Claw says, this is a problem with mobile games in general. They put a lot of microtransactions on them, which is why they are free to play in the first place. And JD says, are you basing this on mobile games in general or your specific experience with Nintendo's mobile offerings? And then Dark Tetsuya says, didn't the Mario Run model not do as well as they hoped? And I think that's why a lot of us are kind of curious to see what Nintendo does here, because I think they should just charge a flat fee for the game. I think what they did wrong with Mario Run was they did this whole it's free demo and then you pay. I kind of think they should have just charged for the app up front. Like it was admirable what they were trying to do to give you the taste for free, but they really should have just made you pay for the app. People would have paid for it. They pay for Mario games anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that probably should have just been what they did. So it'll be interesting to see if they just do that with Dr. Mario or what. But even though they haven't had the best luck with some of their online titles, like obviously Miitomo did not live up to their expectations. I don't know how Animal Crossing, the mobile game, is performing.
Probably doing pretty well for them.
But I know that Dragalia Lost kind of came out of nowhere with no fanfare. And I know people that are like into that. So I wonder if maybe they're finding that, I mean, you don't have to build everything up with this super big fanfare. I don't know. Anyway, Tiger Claw also points out another thing about these mobile games. They are always updated with new content, and the new content is usually maybe new characters, no levels to play at. Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens with Nintendo when we get more information about how they plan to make money. Because that's what they do. That's what the game industry is for, is to make money. So they're going to do it one way or another. This is an interesting development, though, in the gaming industry. This is huge, in my opinion. But it has to do with Xbox Live. And Microsoft is going to be hosting a session at the upcoming Game Developers Conference, which I think is, what, next month? It's coming up pretty soon.
March, yeah.
Yeah. And in this talk, they're going to be talking about Xbox Live and how there's going to be a cross-platform development kit. Because, you know, we're hearing more and more about cross-platform play and all that stuff. But this is going a little further, because there's going to be a cross-platform developer kit that integrates Xbox Live into Android and iOS, as well as the Switch.
Yeah, because they have that already for Minecraft.
So, right, exactly. So that's why it's like one of those, like, when you kind of go like, what? It's like, but Minecraft, right?
But no Sony, because they don't play nice with anybody.
Well, right, and it's a little more competitive in that regard. But isn't this interesting that we've kind of always joked about, when's Nintendo going to have an achievement system? When are they going to build their own type of thing? And now we're looking at, you know, again, we're kind of cart before the horsing a little bit. We need to hear more about this talk. We need to hear more about what this integration is really going to have with it. But it sounds like we could be looking at, you could build a game that pops Xbox Live achievements on Switch. And so now Nintendo Switch will have Xbox Live for the achievements.
Now put Virtual Console on Xbox Live Arcade.
Now, But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Before we get too carried away, it's not that, like, Nintendo is going to incorporate Xbox Live into first-party Nintendo titles. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about the vast library of indie offerings that Nintendo has where this will be an option, like... it feels weird calling Minecraft an indie game at this point, but we know that's where its roots were.
Yeah.
Why we're here at this point now having this talk, like Minecraft did on the Switch. I think we might see more and more games start to include that sort of thing, which is very interesting. I mean, despite all the crap we've given about Nintendo and online, I don't think anybody could have predicted that Microsoft will just fill in for Nintendo's online stuff. Some of it. But it's, again,
I'm fine with that.
They're not, it's not, again, Nintendo is still going to have their online service where you have to pay to battle people online and stuff. Like, it's not like this is replacing that. It's just that this is going to have the added, what, achievements, friends list, getting messaging, getting to see what your friends are playing and all that stuff. Anyway, this session will be a first look at this, and not that games are going to have this right away. So it's, you know, it's Game Developers Conference. So this is getting people thinking about it to integrate in their games possibly later. Some folks are also reflecting on what could this mean maybe for Microsoft's broader strategy. Maybe, you know, they're not putting all their eggs in the console market basket. Definitely, you know, talking about game streaming. I wonder if they want to have the Switch be a thing that you could stream Xbox games to. Could you imagine playing Crackdown 3 on the Switch?
No.
I mean, if Nintendo allows it, that could be very fascinating.
I'll play on my PC, thank you very much, because my kids ruined my Switch controller. So,
yeah. It seems like, you know, the technology and those types of services are what Microsoft wants to do, which, if you think about it, is not exactly like an un-Microsoft strategy. I mean, how do we all know Microsoft? Windows, and kind of like that structure that makes many I can't say all computers, but many computers run if they're not a Mac or, you know, you're one of those guys that likes to do Linux or, you know, one of those other things. So, interesting. I just find this concept fascinating that we might have like Xbox Live integration in Nintendo stuff, even though, again, it's not like Mario games are going to have it. I don't see Nintendo going that far, but could Nintendo be challenged, pushed to do their own thing? Could you see more friendly connections between Nintendo and Microsoft?
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, competition is very healthy for the industry, but at the same time, these sorts of come-together things are also, like, really kind of fascinating.
Because if anything, at least give Sony a kick in the pants so they can do some better stuff in regards to what people actually want on their console.
Big Red Pimp in chat says, Nintendo has a lot of catching up to do to ever get online right, and that's if they stay on the hardware side. You know, I caught a little shade there at another company, but did you see that? I think it's a rumor. It's a heavy rumor, so it's not on our show world tonight, but I'll bring it up anyway. That there's like some trademark or patent or something for PlayStation 5 and some type of emulation technology that they are assuming is for PlayStation 5, where it looks like Sony may be trying to have a PlayStation 5 play the entire library, PlayStation 4, 3, 2, and 1 games through emulation. I would be kind of shocked that it would... I worry people are jumping to conclusions.
Well, I don't
on that
know
story
if
I think they're still going to try to resell you those games.
I think it would be more of like system on chip stuff, because now we have like we're so into it now where PlayStation 1, you know, system on chips are probably pretty cheap, or you could develop something that's pretty cheap. Obviously, since they have the PlayStation Classic, which please don't use that one because that didn't work out too well. But you know,
I don't think they will.
Other things could run a PlayStation 1 game. You know, obviously a PSP could play a PS. You know, you could probably shove a PSP into one of those systems. So I could see them doing something like that. But, yeah, I hope that they're actually doing some backwards compatibility, because I have a pretty large library, thanks to PlayStation Plus, of all these digital games that I have on PlayStation 3 but not on PlayStation 4. But I don't want to dig out my PlayStation 3 to play them. And probably by the time I do dig my PlayStation 3 out to play them, it won't work anymore. So...
Akuma JP in chat says, if that's what it is, they can take my money now. Well, again, I don't want to, you know, it's rumors, patents. Just because you have a patent doesn't mean you're going to use it. So, you know, take a salt lick, you know, it's interesting, and maybe just some wishful thinking in that regard, that maybe Sony will go down that route. But there's still that pessimist to me that's like, well, just because they're going to emulate it doesn't mean they're going to run your old discs They're going to just make you buy the games again, do it that way. But we'll see. I'll be hopeful. That would be pretty rad if your whole library – I mean, it's kind of what we've wanted on PlayStation 4 all along. But it would be really rad if maybe Sony is kind of like, we hear you, and so on PlayStation 5 – it is now a PlayStation everything or what it does. You know, I'm sure there's some clever little marketing thing they can do there where it's like all your PlayStation in this thing. So it'd be cool if they did it. We'll see.
Your backlog.
Yes. And you have all these games you can play that you have never have touched. Anyway. All right, let's move on to our next story, Loki.
So there is this game is going to be, it's not announced yet, but it was leaked out by esports journalist Rod Breslow. And it's basically been reported that there's going to be a spinoff. It's developed by the folks that did Titanfall called Apex Legends. And it is a battle royale game. It's actually set to be out on Monday, so possibly tomorrow, on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. It's supposed to be a free-to-play game. It's going to be like Titanfall, but without the Titans, which unfortunately that was the great part of the game. But you know, some of the same type of movement stuff. They said comparing the gameplay is kind of like Titanfall mixed with Overwatch and Blackout from Call of Duty Black Ops 4. But yeah, it's interesting to see that, you know, there might be something coming like this. I guess we'll have to wait and see what it is. And they're saying that maybe it could be revealed tomorrow or even part of the Super Bowl. We may see a reveal later tonight. Who knows? But yeah.
I'm sure some people are multitasking and probably have like the TV on low while they're watching this. So if
it'll be out on the internet if it's announced, so I'm sure we'll see.
Questbuster points out there's a respawn stream slated for tomorrow on Apex at 8 a.m. Pacific time.
Hmm. Well, then that's probably it.
Yeah. Isn't that funny, too? Because I just said I'm surprised there's no video games doing a commercial at the Super Bowl. Anyway. Moving on to a studio that does commercials for their big games, because they've done some big games. Quantic Dream. I'm sure some of you heard this news this week. Quantic Dream is the studio behind big PlayStation titles like Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human. You know, these are very big cinematic story-driven games, and they've all been PlayStation-exclusive games. But they put out a video this week that was kind of like a play on Detroit. They had, like, the android girl from Detroit Become Human kind of doing this announcement that they have basically been acquired by – well, no, I'm sorry, not acquired, not acquired. They are leaving the PlayStation exclusivity behind, because this was a story that went on Variety and VentureBeat, where bosses at Quantic Dream, including David Cage, went on and said they're not going to be solely PlayStation anymore. But the funding is coming from Chinese mega developer NetEase. And you're hearing them a lot, because NetEase also is working with Bungie on whatever's coming after Destiny. Mm-hmm. There's that. And there's the Diablo mobile game, which kind of got a lot of crap. So it's interesting how NetEase is like, you can't fucking get away from them right now. Like, I don't have an opinion on NetEase yet. I'm waiting.
Interesting if they came out with a console.
Oh.
I don't think that they would, but.
That's definitely a thought. Yeah. But I mean, we know these games are like mobile, and, you know, we know the other platforms, a lot of these things are going on too, but it's interesting. So anyhow, you know, in a statement, one of the other heads of the studio, I'm probably going to butcher his name, sorry, Guillaume de Fondemier said, our objective is to be present on all platforms where there is an audience that can enjoy our experiences. We will, of course, continue developing on PlayStation, a platform that we know very well after having worked with Sony for 12 years. We will also be present on all other relevant platforms. So interesting. They're not going to limit themselves to just Sony. Obviously, that means Xbox probably in their future, but I think also that would mean PC is probably going
to
be in their
future.
It's
kind of interesting to see these studios kind of go away from Sony a little bit, like, you know, not being like console exclusives and stuff. Interesting.
It's weird because I want to say that their stubbornness on the cross platform probably didn't do them any favors, but Quantic Dream isn't exactly making multiplayer big.
No, they're
games.
Doing these like almost like I don't know, playable cinematics, it seems like.
Well, I think just in general, we're kind of seeing this industry go, why are we so siloed with PC games, Xbox games, Nintendo games, Sony? Why are we so siloed?
Well,
why
it's probably money, probably because when Quantic Dream came, you know,
sure,
to do a lot of exclusives. Sony, they were bankrolling a lot of that stuff.
They always get A-plus features at Sony press conferences.
And so, yeah. You know, it's probably that relationship and the money, and maybe now they have enough of their own money bankrolled that they can say, you know, we don't need to rely on Sony to keep bankrolling that stuff. And then maybe now if we put it multi-platform, that we can actually sell more copies and make more money and kind of move independently from them. Kind of like how Bungie now is kind of moving their own way, and they can.
Well, I was going to say this similar things have played out in Sony's favor before, such as Bungie.
Yeah.
The Halo makers ended up doing Destiny on PlayStation as well as Xbox, yeah. And that was a big deal. So, and even so, what will be really interesting is that when Destiny went over to PlayStation, they kind of, like, Sony obviously put a lot of money on that to get mm-hmm. the exclusive stuffs and highlighting it. So it'd be interesting to see if Microsoft or maybe Nintendo, I mean, who's to say that Quantic Dream isn't interested maybe in Switch stuff? It'll be interesting to see if those companies are going to try to put money into it to make themselves look a little more like the new home for this.
I'd be, like, interested to see them kind of branch out from the same type of game that they've made the same type of game, like, 3 or 4 times now. It's like,
but they're pretty well received. Some people didn't care for the story.
Did Detroit Become Human do really well? I mean,
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I see. You know, I know some people that really didn't care for the story and thought it was really heavy-handed. I haven't played it myself. I don't have an opinion. But I know some people like loved it and thought it was a fascinating story and fascinating game. But I feel like that was the same stuff I heard about Heavy Rain. Some people thought that game was amazing. Some people thought it was ridiculous. Hmm. So it's just, it might just be sometimes you like a movie and sometimes you don't. That's what it is. All right. Well, let's move on to another story here. And I totally forgot to hit the next button there. But that happens sometimes as we are doing live radio here. So I need to step away for just a moment. So sorry, Loki. You got to fill time here.
Oh, no worries. So this is kind of different. This is a mod for Final Fantasy VII on PC. So what this does is it actually uses AI neural networks to up-res the backgrounds and visuals of Final Fantasy VII to make it to about 4 times the resolution. So what they did is they did this, the Remako, I love that name, Remako HD graphics mod is a mod that completely revamps the pre-rendered backgrounds of classic JRPG Final Fantasy VII. All of the backgrounds now have 4 times the resolution of the original, and using state-of-the-art AI neural networks, this upscaling tries to emulate the detail of the original renders, what they would have been. This helps the new visuals to come as close to a high-resolution re-rendering of the original as possible with the current technology. Because the remasters, they didn't really have better graphics in the backgrounds, which kind of made the games look kind of rough around the edges, and even with like the low poly characters, it just made it a little bit difficult to play. For me, I know it just didn't really stand up the test of time. But now I got to say, though, you can actually watch, they have a video that kind of does a side-by-side comparison between what it looks like currently and the remake, and it looks pretty nice. So everything's much more less dithered. It looks, you know, definitely sharper and more in line with an actual remake, which is pretty awesome. So they have, if you want to check it out, they have a really long URL for this, but I'm sure if you do a search for the Remako HD graphics mod on Google or something like that, you can find it. But they have it on his blog spot. He has the mod. It's a beta release right now, so you can go check it out. Apparently, I want to say it looks like they had done something similar with Doom before. They kind of made a sort of an HD version of the original Doom using the same type of technology. So that was pretty awesome. It looks like it was pretty effective with the sprites and stuff they had there. Though I did not play that one either. But I am willing to check this out because I do like me some Final Fantasy VII. But I just, I had a hard time going back to the PC version because, like, oh my god, this looks so terrible. How do I remember this looking so bad? I didn't remember it, but, you know, playing it on an old CRT, it's definitely a lot different than upscaling, or not even upscaling, just making it as big as like a 1080p on my monitor. But, yeah, go check it out since it's free to download. And I'm kind of wondering what other things they could use this for, like maybe. I would love to see something like this on, like, say, Super Mario RPG or something like that. Because, you know, that game, even like with Donkey Kong Country and stuff like that, those rare, the kind of pre-rendered sprite stuff where they were using it in the SNES, that would probably look pretty nice if they were actually upscale that as well. So check it out.
And it's getting done faster than the actual HD Final Fantasy VII, but they're building that essentially from the ground up, I guess.
Right, but I don't understand why
I think a lot of us like, okay, why did they put out this old Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation 4 and PC, but they didn't like try to zhuzh it up a little bit like is
because it's harder to do like sprite work. It's harder to make it look better without actually having someone go in there and do it. Well, they have now AI that can do that kind of stuff and kind of try to make it look nicer, whereas a lot of these upscaled HD remakes or whatever, it's basically just taking the same geometry but you're putting it in a higher resolution, so of course it looks crisper and everything. But that doesn't work if you have pre-rendered backgrounds because you can't up-res that. Same with, like, why the pre-rendered cutscenes that they have. It's like, oh, the game's all HD, and then the cutscenes look like shit because it's pre-rendered from, like, a long time ago instead of, you know, redoing it.
And Final Fantasy VII is, like, an especially good example of that because there were some, like, really low-quality scenes, and, like, you go into these cutscenes that are very beautifully rendered, and then I feel like some are even, like, there was, like, the in-game cutscenes, the overworld, and like the rendered cutscenes that looked really good. You know, when Aerith gets stabbed, it looks really good.
We need AI neural networks to make the stabbing look that much better.
As far as like the Final Fantasy VII, like actual HD, that is the one thing I want to see how they do it. Like, are they still going to keep it? Because, like, you know, it wasn't like bloody or gross or anything like that. But like, are they going to like? Is it still going to be like gentle and said, like, how are they going to do that moment? That was a big moment, like in video gaming. So it's kind of curious how they're going to do that. You're thinking something sassy. What?
So what they're going to do?
What?
Is they're going to go the Mortal Kombat route. So it's going to go like into the whole X-ray thing, and you're going to see the knife go through all of the organs and everything.
No, Square Enix doesn't do that. Stop. Oh, well, I guess they are the studio that does like Hitman, huh? Anyway. All right. Some folks in chat going along with you saying Super Mario RPG in HD would be great.
Yes.
So, yeah, for sure. Anyway, speaking of mods, another big mod that came out this week, officially, this mod has been in development for some time, but it's for Diablo 2. And that's right. That's not a typo. We're talking Diablo 2, not Diablo 3. You know, some people still love Diablo 2. And I understand, you know, they're different games, you know, Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. So some people are still really into Diablo 2. And this, I mean, this even makes me want to kind of go back and, like, try to find my CD and, like, check it out because this sounds pretty cool. It's a new mod called Median XL. But it's been in development for some time, so some of you may have already played it. But the official 1.0 version is now out. It says thousands of new items, graphical improvements, extra skills, endgame content, 30 new abilities for each class, reward skills when you overcome challenges. For example, a crossbow necromancer build and a druid that has tree warden. And then there's a new end game with 40 new quests, new monsters, which has they brought in Asmodan from Diablo 3. I guess you actually get to play as Diablo in one quest. And they do some quality of life things like automatic gold pickup. Like, it sounds like a full-fledged freaking Diablo expansion, but done by fans. Not even, like, Blizzard has obviously moved on to Diablo Mobile and assuredly some sort of Diablo 4 whenever they decide they're ready to unveil what's behind
the
curtain on that.
They didn't do a Diablo 2, like, remaster thing like they did with Warcraft 3 or whatever?
No, they didn't. That kind of surprised people. People still think that could be a thing because they have done it with original StarCraft. That's already out. Warcraft 3 was announced. People kind of forgot it because that's the announcement they should have done last at BlizzCon, but instead they did that Diablo thing. And so a lot of people kind of assume, well, if those franchises are getting it,
they announce the actual Diablo 4, then they probably do that.
They might do, like, here's Diablo 4, but to hold you over until then, here's Diablo 2. But, you know,
Since our mobile game isn't going to do it.
Blizzard's got to be thinking about the whole PR thing right about now. So I'm sure they're licking their wounds after BlizzCon, and we're going to see a very different I don't know if I want to say very different, but I think we'll just see improvements at BlizzCon this year. I think they've heard them at Blizzard. They're not stupid. They know what's on the internet, and they're gonna hopefully not fuck up again like that and reassess some things with that. Anyway, Let's see. Gosh, some of you guys in chat are gross. They're still talking about the Aerith death thing and all that stuff. Anyway. All right. So, yeah, modding old games. Good way to talk about some classic games. And, of course, a segment we like to do here every week on the show called the Classic Game of the Week. I do want to warn you guys, though, before we get into this week's Classic Game of the Week. It was apparently the Time and Space Radio Magic Portal caused there to be a little bit of an echo when Jamie's talking tonight. And that totally has nothing to do with me accidentally leaving a microphone on near the television. That I would never be so stupid as to make a mistake like that. But regardless, you'll have to excuse some of the sound issues in this week's Classic Game of the Week. But it's listenable. So without further ado. And so that means it's that time in the show where I'm going to throw the ball over to Dark Sakura to give us our classic game of the week. Hi, Dark Sakura.
I can't catch anything. If that's a Superb Owl reference, then no.
Maybe. I don't know. Might have been. Well, anyway, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here. Every week, I know you like to step into the gaming vault and find a game that the kids should be playing. So tell us about the classic game of the week.
The classic game is Decap Attack. It is a game that came out in 1991. It is a platformer done by Vic Tokai and published by Sega for the Genesis in the U.S. It is actually a redone version of another Japanese Mega Drive game in 1990 called Magical Hat no Butobi Tago, Daiboken. It basically just completely redid the game. The level designs are a little bit changed, but most of the stuff is where they left it, but they made it darker because Magical Hat was actually kind of bright and cheerful, and this was kind of, well, I'd say undead. But at any rate, both of them are updates of the 1988 NES game called Kid Cool and the 1989 Master System game called Psycho Fox. They were released for the Sega Genesis Collection for PS2 and PS Portable, Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and on Steam and via the Sega Forever mobile service. So in this particular game, you play Chuck D. Head, a headless mummy who was created by a mad scientist named Frank Enstein and his assistant Igor, who has to defeat someone called Max Decap, who is a demon who is trying to conquer the surface world. So basically, you're going around the game as this mummy. You know, you have to climb and jump around and just lots of platforming. You've got different, you know, things that can hurt Chuck. You have power-ups to collect, and one of the power-ups is a head. You actually can put on this head and then throw it, which in the original version, it was the hat. He has a face in the middle of his torso. I kind of half wonder if Super Meat Boy was based on him. But he can get the skull power up, which will sit on his head, on his shoulders, like it's a head. He can be thrown at enemies. And it's kind of boomerang-like. It'll come back. And he'll get different potions and different, you know, power-ups and even invincibility and things to eliminate all enemies on the screen and speed boosts, all kinds of stuff. But as far as the changes from Magical Hat, a few different things. So in Magical Hat, if you get hit once, it's an instant death, but in Decap Attack, you get three hearts per life that you can lose and regain, and you can also go up to 5 for a total of 10 hits. You also have life pulls that will restore your health, but in Magical Hat, they actually increased your lives. There was even a comic strip based off of this. This is in the UK, Sonic the Comic, and it was just, you know, more of weird, absurd humor from the game, so it was apparently pretty popular, but that was the game. It's Decap Attack.
You know, and I think it's important to point out, because when you first messaged me that this was the game you were going to pick, I was like, oh gosh, is that some like ultra violent thing? And obviously, as the people on Twitch that are watching us live can see, it's very much not that, because it's, you know, 1991, it's limited by graphics, and I would say I recognized the game once I saw it. Like, I just didn't like, oh yeah, it's this game. But it's more like, for those on the podcast that can't see it, it's more like a macabre type of, like, Adam's Family, maybe one step beyond that. But it isn't, like, gross, even though it has a name called Decap Attack. It's just from that very...
Well,
yeah.
Well, I also think the comic really did expand on the story. It was pretty funny because, like, Professor Frank Einstein fakes his German accent. He's really a former choir boy from Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually Welsh.
Huh.
But, you know, I read the comic for a little bit. It was actually pretty funny. But the whole game is absurd and absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
so.
It's just, it comes from this really weird, absurdist era of Sega when they made these really strange games like Toe Jam and Earl and, you know, Decap Attack. And, like, Genesis was the system for those things. So what I didn't realize was that this was based on something that kind of already existed in Japan. I mean, this is essentially, like, in a way, it's Sega doing Super Mario Brothers 2. They took an established game and kind of like remade it for what they thought might be more better received in the U.S. and Europe. It's interesting.
Yeah, but it's based off of it's Vic Tokai, so you know they're always reusing their own ideas and everything.
Yeah.
So, but the games it was based off of, I mean, Kid Kool was, I mean. Did you ever play Kid Kool?
I recognize the name. I want to say I did play it, and I don't remember it being very particularly good, but I might be mixing it up with something else.
Well, they were all, like, in the same family of Vic Tokai games, you know, just the kind of playability platforming stuff. But I really thought that, you know, Magical Hat / Decap Attack were a very neat just type of game where you pick up your power-ups in unique ways and... Of course, Decap Attack was pretty hilarious.
See, I thought at first it might be because, like, in the theme of what most people around the country are obsessed with today, I thought this might be like that sports game where the players kill each other. I thought that might be where we're going, but no, it's not that.
No, well, I mean, and Vic Tokai actually did kind of a whole interesting series of games anyway. I mean, they did Bump and Jump, remember that?
Oh, yeah, Bump and Jump was cool. That was a Commodore 64 game, too.
They did Column 3. They did Daedalus and Opus.
Oh, that was that puzzle game on Game Boy, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
they did Dark Seed. They did Golgo 13 Top Secret Adventure. They actually did a few of the Golgo 13 games.
Oh, I remember. Golgo 13 was, like, heavily featured in early Nintendo Power episodes, or magazines. That was, like, how I first heard about it.
They did the Mass Effect Conspiracy, another Golgo 13 game. I'm just trying to think of other ones they did. They did Shinobi Legion.
Hmm.
And Whip Rush and Top Gear 2. So they've got kind of a staple in just that kind of unique video game era.
Well, I'm all for unique video games and stuff that's a little bit outside the norm. So with that, there it is, your classic game of the week, Decap Attack. And it's not like actually decapitating people, just cartoon.
Because he doesn't really have his own head to begin with.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so quickly before we get back to the show, anything else going on with you and your gaming life, Dark Sakura?
We have beaten Resident Evil 2. I started with Claire, but because I have, you know, wrist problems, Sam took over the game for me because it was really hurting me to play.
Sure.
So it's kind of like when we were first married. I used to be his navigator. Oh, not first married, but first together. I was his navigator through Resident Evil 2, so I kind of resumed that role. And
aww.
We had a really good time playing together. And, of course, I had to leave the room when he started screaming during the fourth survivor. So we're probably going to start the Leon game A and the Claire game B. It was just pretty fun.
So you're a backseat driver even when you're video gaming.
Pretty much. But this time I can actually go out and get my own damn coffee.
I love it. All right. We're going to head back to me live. We're going to throw it back to myself, me live in the studio. But any parting words for our listeners tonight, Darsagra?
I really fucking love curry rice.
Me too. All right. There it is, your classic game of the week. Yeah, definitely. And some folks in chat are noticing, like, there's kind of some questionable stuff in that game. Definitely a product of a very different era in many different ways. And, but still, I mean, as far as the point of games that they don't make, like, crazy things like that anymore, I guess we really have to kind of look to the indie community to be doing a lot of stuff like that. If I'm not mistaken, I brought up Toe Jam and Earl as like another like weird Sega thing. Like I think that is getting a reboot really soon. I want
in a couple weeks.
Is that soon?
Yep.
Oh, how timely! There you go. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on back into some gaming news for the week and talk about some rapid fire news and quickly some other things happening out in the gaming world.
So it's another month. So let's talk about the free games you'll get for paying for online. So
free if you pay.
Free if you pay. It's bonus stuff. So with Games of Gold for February, the lineup is on Xbox One, Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon for February 1st through the 20th. And Super Bomberman R from the 16th to March 15th.
And that's the one that was on Switch, too, right? And then they
yes.
kind of, yeah, that's.
Yes.
Those are some good picks.
And then on Xbox 360, which is backwards compatible with Xbox One, or vice versa, I should say, that is going to be Assassin's Creed Rogue from the 1st through the 15th. And from the 16th through the 28th, Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy. And that's an original Xbox game, so, you know, pretty cool. And those are going to be for February. And then, of course, on the PlayStation side of the house, we have Hitman on PlayStation 4, For Honor on PlayStation 4, Dive Kick, which is going to be a cross-buy with the Vita version on PlayStation 3, Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots on PlayStation 3, and then PlayStation Vita games, which are also cross-buy with PlayStation 4, Gunhouse, and Rogue Aces. This month is a little bit different in the fact that they're going to offer the PlayStation 3 and Vita games a little bit longer until March 8th. The reason for that is this is the last month you're getting PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita games. So that's that'd be it.
They're kind of going out on a bang there with Metal Gear Solid 4 was kind of one of the
that's
bigger,
definitely a pretty
games on the platform,
big game,
yeah.
So that's it. And then it's just going to be strictly PlayStation 4 games going forward. And, too bad it's not more PlayStation 4 games. But
well, you never know. You never know.
No,
they haven't said it would be the same or less, maybe.
I think they did say it was supposed to be like two and maybe. I don't know.
Because it's right now, the way it is right now, you've got two Vita games that are also on PlayStation 4. So you're really getting four PlayStation 4 games. So,
but I want to continue getting four PlayStation 4 games that I'll never play.
There is a very indie rich library that they could tap into to maybe give some extras. But we'll see.
You know, whatever. Fine. So that
the
is
games they've been picking have been good selections. It's not like they're giving us complete garbage. Yeah, it's a little dated, but it's a lot of like, you know, you probably should have tried this if you missed this the first time.
An additional perk also for PlayStation Plus members is that they're upping the cloud storage from 10 gigabytes to 100 gigabytes. Starting this month as
well.
That's
a lot of gigabytes.
For saves, yeah, because save data doesn't take up that much, so I don't even know how I'd use a whole gigabyte. Unless you can use other things like, I don't know if you can store videos and stuff through cloud storage.
I wonder if your share stuff can go to the cloud.
I don't know, but I couldn't see 100 gigabytes in saves. Jeez, you'd have to like, I can't fathom that you'd have that many saves unless, you know, something weird. This is definitely unique and unexpected, but there is a new PlayStation VR game coming out pretty soon, and it is a sequel to Groundhog's Day. So Groundhog Day, like Father, Like Son, is going to be a game where you play this Phil Connors Jr., the son of the character that Bill Murray played in the film. And you're going through your own Groundhog's Day type thing. And so it's just, it's interesting. Definitely something I will want to check out.
Yeah. It's an endorsed sequel.
Yeah.
The,
Sony.
Wow.
Sony doing it. So.
Did they make the movie?
I don't know if they made the movie, but this is absolutely endorsed by them. It says the game's going to contain multiple branching narratives. They said they have writers. James Ciliano, who's of Rick and Morty fame, and Josh Rubin, who worked at Telltale, they're involved in creating the story. So interesting. It looks very, very interesting. So I definitely want to check it out because I love me some Groundhog's Day. So.
Yeah, a lot of people love that movie. Yeah, so that's kind of unique. I like that. All right. A nice follow-up there, I suppose. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to some other news. Of course, Piranha Plant came out for Super Smash Brothers, the Switch, which has a lot of people excited. But apparently there are some bugs, so be careful. Apparently if you use Piranha Plant in All-Star mode, it can lead to corrupted save data. So don't even test that until you hear that it has been fixed, because it will bork your game, meaning like you have to reinstall the entire thing. That's a pretty big mistake. Whoops. Yeah, so anyway, don't use Piranha Plant in All-Star mode until you hear it's been fixed, which by the time you hear this may be the case.
I would imagine
I haven't heard of it tonight that it's better, but it is the weekend. But I imagine this will be one of those things that gets pushed pretty quickly, so be on the lookout for that. I'm actually kind of keeping an eye on the chat to see if somebody might follow up on that, but I don't believe that has been patched yet. So, all right. Anyhow, JD in chat says, this one guy remade a Rhythm Heaven stage using Piranha Plant. It's amazing. That's cool. I like that. Dark Tetsuya in our Twitch chat reporting that, as far as I know, this has not been patched out yet. So probably something Nintendo's working crazy busy on to fix there. Anyway, speaking of Nintendo stuff, something that's a little more festive, I suppose, Splatfest. We haven't talked about Splatfest in a while because usually the this versus that hasn't really caught my attention, but this one did. So for the next Splatfest, which I believe is next weekend, so starting February 9th, or it's on Saturday, so it's like one day. The question being posed, pancakes versus waffles.
Dude, it's waffles.
It's totally waffles. Team waffles all the way.
I did notice, though, they had, like, I was reading the comments thread on that thing, and they were talking about, like, there's a show, and I was completely unaware of the show, called Review, on Comedy Central, and they have, like, questions. Would you review, please, eating 15 pancakes? And so, like, they had the guy, the host of the show, he goes and eats 15 pancakes and, like, suffers through that and reviews it at the end. It's goddamn hilarious. I'm like, why am I not aware of this show?
Do they have toaster pancakes? No, there's a reason for that. That's all I have to say.
Because they'll burn.
But those apple cinnamon or the strawberry, those are like the best snack for when you're like freaking hungry as heck. So anyway, oink oink. But anyway, yes, I'm definitely team waffle. And waffle has the purpley color that's kind of pretty too. So, but here's the thing. I'm not being a pancake hater, because I'll fucking eat pancakes too.
Then you have the abomination.
Don't get me wrong.
That my parents.
This isn't like the ketchup and mayonnaise thing. Okay, that was a much different serious issue. This is. I'd be okay if the pancake.
Then there's
thing
the abomination that my parents would make, which is using pancake batter in a waffle iron, and it makes floppy ass waffles that are of pancake consistency, but are shaped like a waffle. They're slightly better than pancakes.
JD in chat says, okay, but you can't make waffles at home without special equipment. Well, considering you can get one with Hello Kitty branding, everybody should own that special piece of equipment. let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, well, Rob, they don't have Stroop pancakes. Winning comment of the week. They do not have Stroop pancakes. Sia Tabiri points out they do have toaster pancakes. Really? That's a thing? Maybe it's I've never seen toaster.
I don't
pancakes.
Know. They have like toaster eggs too. Like I've seen something where you can, but I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't try that. Or no, toaster bacon or something like that. It was something ridiculous. Like, I'm never doing that because that sounds like a fire hazard or a mess.
JD in chat says, not everyone has room in a kitchen for fun gadgets. I live in a small apartment. You know what? For JD's birthday, I swear I'm going to get him a Hello Kitty waffle maker now.
They have all sorts of waffle makers. I went to GameStop today because GameStop, the home of apparently waffle makers now, they have a Millennium Falcon waffle maker, and they also have a Pokeball waffle maker. So get your waffle makers at GameStop, I guess.
Okay, I'm being linked to Target by Sia Tabiri. Apparently, Kellogg frozen buttermilk pancake. I had no idea that was a thing. I had no idea. All right. Anyway, look, this is not Pancake Lounge Radio or Waffle Lounge Radio, regretfully. Maybe next week. But it is Orange Lounge Radio where we talk about video games. So let's move on to our next story.
No. Oh, I'm going to stop you right here. Yes, they may be Eggo waffles or Eggo brand, but guess what? I buy this shit. You can only make it in the microwave. So you can shove it. You cannot put that in the toaster. It may be Eggo brand, but it is only microwavable. I know that for a fact because I have purchased those.
I love that Loki finally gets passionate about something on Twitch, and it's about fucking pancakes.
It's not about pancakes. It's about waffles.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. All right.
You cannot put those in. Because if you put that in like, yeah, it just won't work. Okay.
This is not a breakfast show. Next topic. Release dates.
All right. So we've got a few things coming out this week. Etrinian Odyssey Nexus on 3DS. We have Riot Civil Unrest on the Switch. The Book of Unwritten Tales 2 on the Switch. V Rally 4 on the Switch. Blaze Blue Central Fiction on the Switch. God Eater 3 on PC and PlayStation 4. Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game 2. That's going to be coming out on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then that's it.
Okay. Moving over to Japan on February the 7th on PlayStation 4, we have Ark of Alchemist in a regular and limited edition. Overkill's The Walking Dead comes out there in Japan on PlayStation 4. Is that the really bad shooter? What is Overkill's Walking Dead? I don't recognize that one.
I think it's a first-person shooter one. It's not the
terrible shooter.
The terrible Activision one. It's a new one. Overkill, I want to say they're the ones that do...
It's 505 Games. It's part of them.
I think Overkill does Payday. The Payday series, if I remember correctly.
This must have come out maybe in the U.S. already. I don't see Japan getting a game based on a U.S. TV show.
No,
first.
I think it came out over... I don't really watch
the show, so I must have missed it. Sorry, It's interesting because we had Telltale's Walking Dead, obviously it was an infamous series, but anyway. Also coming out in Japan this week, last week's show we brought up Farming Simulator, so the latest and greatest, Farming Simulator 19, out on the PlayStation 4 this week. The Unravel Yarny Bundle, that would be a retail release of Unravel, is out as well this week. All that to look forward to.
I think that
Japan.
Doesn't that come with an actual physical Yarny as well? Because I want to say...
It's really cheap. I'd be surprised if it did. It's just Unravel and Unravel 2.
I got it.
This is the Japanese release, so there may be... A different thing.
Oh, maybe that's like a pre-order bonus thing or something.
Perhaps. Yeah. And then over on the Switch, that might also just be a price reduction too, because that's really cheap for both those games. Yeah. So it was about the equivalent of $20 in the U.S. Anyway, going over to the Nintendo Switch, we have Blaze Blue Central Fiction, the special edition. And that's really the only big release that I see in Japan this week for the Switch. So moving on over to Europe, usually Dark Sakura would do those, but while she's been away, our favorite fan of waffles is helping out.
Yes, we have Etrinian Odyssey Nexus on 3DS, The Book of Unwritten Tales 2 on the Switch, Blaze Blue Central Fiction on the Switch, God Eater 3 on PlayStation 4, Monster Energy Supercross 2 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Riot Civil Unrest on PlayStation 4 and the Switch, and that's it. That would be it.
Okay, we're going to make our way to the mailbag and read the emails that came in this week, although I'm trying to check and see if we got any emails this week, because I'm not sure. No, this one would be... Okay, this was from this week, and the 24th Sunday. Okay, so we have one email from this week to read. Again, if you want to email us, you always can. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. We have one email this week from Frodo Swaggins, who's been a kind of an email VIP lately, and the questions are always short and sweet. These are the emails that are easy to read. Now, I love the long ones too, but you know. Frodo Swaggins. Hey, OLR. Frodo Swaggins here. So I've heard a lot of hype about the new Kingdom Hearts game. I have to admit, I have never played any of the games. That being said, I don't really know a lot about them. Can you explain what the games are all about?
No.
No, we cannot. I kind of need something new to play, and I'm hoping this may potentially interest me. Okay. Here's the thing. This is what it is, as much as everybody's laughing at the question, I'm sure, because the reason why everybody laughs at the question, Frodo Swaggins, is because Kingdom Hearts has a notoriously complicated story, considering that it's Disney stuff, which usually is aimed at kids, right? Even though certainly tons of adults love Disney, right? Like, hello.
It's not the Disney part of it that's weird. It's the Square Enix part that's weird.
Which you're talking about, like, people that exist in multiple realities. And, you know, it's just, like, all that, the time travel, you know, all that type of stuff is involved. And it gets very, like, convoluted, basically. And when I say, I mean, like, the games kind of hop back and forth in time. Sometimes you don't always realize it. But anyway, my point is that at the end of the day, here's the thing, and we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the show. When it comes to Kingdom Hearts 3, they do have about 15 minutes worth of videos embedded in the game that will catch you up enough so that you can understand enough of what's going on. At the end of the day, and I open this up to chatters if you want to, you know, correct me on this, what draws you to the Kingdom Hearts series chat room, but I think for a lot of people, it's just the fact that it's Disney. But it's not like a cutesy kid Disney game because Square Enix puts their spin on it. So it's like a Final Fantasy, but not – the battles aren't really Final Fantasy. It's more action-based. So it's almost like Zelda meets Final Fantasy. Like, Zelda swings the sword. It's like that to action RPG.
What about like
Final Fantasy 15,
honestly. 15, I was going to say. Yeah.
And there's a reason why 15 feels like a Kingdom Hearts game is because the guy that was doing Kingdom Hearts was doing it. So anyway – it's more action based, so it's not like a turn based thing, but you know, you're mashing X and doing all these different combos and stuff. But if you like those sorts of games, because you're gaining levels, you're learning spells, you're crafting, a lot of those RPG tropes are present, and it's mixed with these Disney worlds that are based on movies many people have seen. Maybe you haven't seen them all, I haven't, but many people have a familiarity. Even if I haven't seen Frozen, I know what it's about. You know, and Toy Story and Pirates of the Caribbean and all these worlds that they kind of explore in the games are based on things that, you know, you have a general pop culture knowledge about. So it's kind of neat to see these stories play out from a different perspective. And I think that's what kind of like draws people to Kingdom Hearts is it's like it's always been a very beautiful graphically series and that you get to basically be in these movies that a lot of us grew up on as kids and continue to experience as adults. Going to chat. I wanted to see what the chatters thought here. Questbuster says, the story is indescribable, but the gameplay is easier to get into. Sia Tabiri says, think Fringe meets Disney meets Square RPGs. DG Rama S says, I got Kingdom Hearts 1 for $20 at Target. That's what got me into it. And you know, if you don't want to take the $60 plunge on Kingdom Hearts 3 right now, you could probably take a $20 plunge and get that Kingdom Hearts HD remix for, you know, the 1.0 that has like three early games kind of all in it. Like, I, you know, that might be a good way to kind of get your feet wet on that without having to pay $60. Or in this day and age, streaming. I mean, so many people on Twitch are streaming Kingdom Hearts 3 because it's all the rage right now. And it's so interesting to me. Did you notice? Well, you haven't fired up the game yet, but chatters, did you notice when you bring up the game the first time, it's so surreal. Like, for one, it's like, I'm looking at a Kingdom Hearts 3 title screen. I never thought I'd see the day. But then in the corner, in the upper right-hand corner, special note for streamers. Or no, it says something else. It says, like, things to know before you stream or so you want to stream. And it's like you hit that button. And it's so weird to see that, like, right on the title screen. Like, this game is very aware that lots of people are going to be streaming it. So they put their little, like, you know, use license basically for streaming. And, you know, Square has this kind of weird rule in their streaming. It's not weird. I get why they do it. Because Square Enix sells so many soundtracks and does things on Spotify. You are not supposed to. The license forbids you from streaming just to sit there and listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because they want you to go to Spotify or iTunes or one of those, you know, places where they get coin from it. Because Square Enix does a lot with those soundtracks. So, very interesting. Let me get a few more comments here on Kingdom Hearts. We're getting some good answers to this email tonight. Frodo Swaggins, we'll have a lot to work with here. Questbuster says, what drew me into it was it's an action RPG with Disney Worlds. Didn't know about the attraction attacks at first, but they're amazing and just made it more fun. That and I just wanted an action RPG to play. Only Sonic says the costumes really stood out, and I was a good age in middle school. JD says, I have a PlayStation 2 copy of Kingdom Hearts 1. I don't need that. I'll send to whoever. Oh, that's really sweet. If you still have, hopefully all your PlayStation 2s still work because some of them don't work anymore.
Yeah, like mine. Mine doesn't work. Well, my disk drive doesn't work.
SSJ100 Matt says, I need to replay 1 and 2 again before I can play 3. Last I played 2, I was in college when it came out. I feel so disconnected because of how long it's been that I need to replay it again. Honestly, truly, you don't need to play 1 and 2 again. 3, they know that they haven't put out a game in 14 years. So they're not doing these deep cuts that are going to go over your head. Because at the end of the day, the story is not going to suddenly make sense if you go back and play 1 and 2. But I completely respect a game player that wants to go back and experience that. Is I get it. I've been there, you know, but don't feel that you have to do it to like understand Kingdom Hearts 3. They know it's going to be a long time for some people. And the whole Xbox thing that got brought up, it's the first time any Kingdom Hearts game has been on Xbox. So they had to, you know, compensate for that a little bit. So, great comments. Great comments, you guys, in our chat room, and great email. That was our only email tonight, but you can always send us, more emails. Participate at orangeloungetrader.com is the place to send us your emails, and we'll read some of them on the next show. But for now, that was the only email that we got tonight, so we will go on to our next story, which is Loki's.
Yeah, let's talk more about EA. So you remember EA, they got into trouble in Belgium with their loot boxes. Because basically, it constitutes gambling, and
Belgium was the country that really put their foot down.
They put their foot down. Some of the other companies did comply. Like I want to say, I think Valve did with their Steam stuff. Also, Overwatch. I want to say they had taken the loot boxes out of there. But EA and FIFA said, "Fuck you guys! We're going to do whatever the fuck we want, and we're not going to comply with your stupid laws." And so now they said, well, okay, now we're actually going to comply with your laws. So starting on the 31st of January, they have stopped selling FIFA points in Belgium.
It's more like they're just doing the whole, like, we're just going to take it away. We're just taking it away from you. So if you're Belgian, too bad, so sad. Your country says we can't do this here.
Yeah.
It's interesting approach.
So basically they have taken the points away so you can't purchase them anymore. And... they apologize to players of the country for any inconvenience caused by this change.
But it's your laws, and we're mad about it.
And I think did they tell them to contact their government officials or something like that about it either? I don't remember if they.
I'm sure they've subtly put that.
Maybe they said that before, but like,
yeah. Not in this most recent announcement. I'm sure. I think they just kind of want to get past it. And like, I hate to say it. And this is going to sound really, really horrible. And I'm sorry. I know we have listeners in Belgium, so I'm very sorry. I miss. We haven't heard from Martin from Belgium in a long time, and I know we had other emailers there too. But you know, the EA probably just looked at it and went, you know what? It's just one country out of how many countries that we do business in. We can just write off the loss, which is a whole country. You're just going to write. But that's like the reality is. That's probably what EA did.
Right, and I'm sure that maybe they're losing more money just with the fines and everything. But still, though, it's just. I don't know.
I know. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about some news concerning Twitch. Let's talk about a Twitch controversy on our Twitch stream.
All right. Twitch drama.
Well, sort of. Twitch actually went and they responded to some backlash they were getting about some ads. So do you ever see like the pre-roll ads that show up? I mean, if you are watching this, you probably saw an ad that played before this. I don't know for what. But some of the ads that they were playing recently were for like – a New Year's stream, because this is kind of back in December, that Ninja, whose real name is Tyler Blevins. I never knew that was his real name, but it's in the story. So Ninja was going to be hosting this. And I do remember seeing that ad come up on Twitch. It was like, it's a New Year's Eve event, and it was like a live.
I remember I saw the clips.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, let's floss. And everyone's like, fuck you. No.
And there was another one I saw from Pokey, or I didn't see this one, but there was another one that other people saw, Pokimane, which showed up. I'm sorry if I'm butchering the name.
No, that's right.
Yeah. But these clips showed up. And why people complained about it is they were basically saying that, why are you promoting these streamers who don't need promotion? Like, shouldn't Twitch be really trying to welcome the up-and-comers of the community and that thing? And so Twitch, surprisingly, because I would have thought there could have been a part of Twitch that said, well, if you pay for an ad, you get to show whatever
I thought
you
it
want.
Was in the pre-roll. I thought it was this. I thought it was like banner ads appearing at the bottom. Like, you know, like they could execute like.
That was.
Because I want to say, like, I think it was Dr. Disrespect or something that like.
So I usually watch on my Xbox. So you don't have banner ads on Xbox. You just have the pre-roll stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I if there was a banner ad, I didn't see it. But that makes are banner ads.
Because I thought one of the people that were complaining about it was Dr. Disrespect because he could trigger when you're like, I guess, I don't know, like a partner or something, you can trigger ads to appear in your stream as well. And so, like, something that was coming across the bottom, he's like, what the fuck is this shit? Why are you telling them to watch, you know, Ninja on my fucking stream? You know, what the fuck, Twitch? You know, because he's like a big name over there. And so,
right, and he kind of doesn't need the help. But there's also that part where you kind of go, but if you're, if you pay for an ad, you get, but I don't think these were like in-house things, because it was like basically a different Twitch stream, right?
I thought he was one that was complaining about it. I thought that I saw like a comment in the story, like back when this was first happening, that he had like basically said, what the fuck, you guys? But
JD says, Twitch served me an ad at the beginning here when I was trying to tune in. I was late to see the show because of it. I'm sorry. We do try to leave, like, that's why we have the little smush thing that shows up at the very beginning with, like, and even when Bobby's live, we still have smush up for about a minute so that people have time to connect and get through all those things before we start the show. But, you know, sometimes the timing doesn't work out. But I do want to point out, I'm just going to say it, that if you use a subscription on VOG Network, such as the one you get with Twitch Prime any, or with Amazon Prime anyway, use your free month on the, you won't get those ads. So just, I'm just putting it out there. I had to say it. I'm sorry. You left the door wide open for a cheap plug there. Let's see. DJ Rama S points out that if you use the Twitch app that's on Windows 10, they don't have ads. Really? I didn't know that. I knew Twitch had an app because Twitch took over Curse. And believe it or not, the Twitch app is how I manage my World of Warcraft add-ons, because that was Curse's big bread and butter, was managing add-ons. So yeah. I use my Twitch app to manage those. It's kind of weird. But Twitch app is also, when you get these free games on Twitch, that's what, you know, you get them through, is their app, because they have their own thing. Anyway, let's see. So anyway, I do want to be fair, I want to read Twitch's response, because they did. You know, they sent out a tweet that said, your feedback helps ensure that we operate in a way that works for the entire community. And they did call out, there have been two instances of advertisements on Twitch, which we believed helped spotlight exciting events taking place on site with some of our creators. We recognize those good intentions cause concern across our broader Twitch creators that these advertisements may drive their audiences elsewhere, and that we had unintentionally created a potentially negative impact with our efforts. We always want you to hold us accountable, and we're glad you're here. We removed the most recent ad early Friday and will avoid running advertisements in the future for on-site events or creators that potentially drive your viewers to other Twitch channels. But here's the thing. And like, and I'm not criticizing Twitch about this at all. Aren't you still going to run ads for TwitchCon? Right? Because you want people to go to TwitchCon.
But I don't think that's necessarily like for any specific person, it's just an event.
I guess that's true.
I think that's a little less, you know.
I'm not like, obviously I totally get the whole the rich are only getting richer perspective, like, and don't take that literally, but it's kind of like the metaphor there that, you know, these guys like Ninja and stuff, you know, they're on the Ellen show and stuff, like, do they really need an advertisement on a smaller channel like this that, you know, here growing at VOG Network, we're like desperate to get more eyes here and more people on our show and all this stuff. So, you know, why would you entice people to go away from that? Like, So it's just like, I see kind of both sides of it. I really do. But I do think Twitch made the right call in the end to, you know what, we really shouldn't air this like directly competing stuff. But I think you do present a good perspective, is that when it comes to something like TwitchCon, that's not aimed at any one specific creator. That's kind of like an event type of thing.
Yeah.
So
it's not like Ninja presents TwitchCon or something like that. You know?
Right. Right. So anyway, by the way, if you do opt to watch ads on Twitch, you might be rewarded with some nominal biddies. And if you want to tip us some biddies here at VOG Network, it does go back into the cost of running a network, because we're like an official business with like legal things and stuff now. And all those people got to be paid. So anyway, all my cheap plugs are done. I had to. I'm sorry. It's the one time I do it. But you don't have to. You don't have to give us one damn dime. We'll still do this show for you as we always have until we run out of steam, which, considering it's been going for 16 and a half years, I don't know. It's probably still going to be some time. Anyway, let's move on and talk about Twitch made a little boo-boo this week, or this past month, I guess. Ubisoft made a little boo-boo too, right?
Yes. So Ubisoft made a little bit of an oopsie. Basically, they put out a promotional email advertising the Tom Clancy's The Division 2, which it was timed improperly with the fact that, you know, there is this whole government shutdown in the United States, or there was a government shutdown. And during that time, they sent out emails with the subject line, "Come see what a real government shutdown looks like in the private beta." Probably not the best, you know, timing for that. A follow-up email was sent out later on saying, "Hello, a marketing email promoting Tom Clancy's The Division 2 was sent out in error today. This was a grave breakdown in process, and we apologize for this error in its offensive subject line of the email. We recognize that a very real impact of the United States government shutdown on thousands of people and did not intend to make light of the situation. Signed, the Ubisoft team." Whoops.
Oops. Yeah, that was... They probably, you know, and to be fair, they probably have this whole promotional campaign that's outlined months in advance.
They probably
this
didn't
is gonna
think...
Go out the, and yeah. they just didn't... The timing didn't kind of... Was not in their favor. So, yeah. Oops. You always got to recheck that stuff before they actually do go out. I think that's a hard lesson learned there. Don't cut corners on that kind of stuff, because obviously that shutdown really impacted some people. The people that would be trying to spend their money on video games if they were getting paychecks. And so you don't need to remind them that there's this very unfortunate situation going on, to put it lightly, in the country. Thankfully, that's all resolved now, for now, but it's still something that they probably could have worded that a little bit better.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But these things are going to happen in games and promote. I mean, sometimes movie campaigns do bad things too. And sometimes ad campaigns do really crazy things. I remember there was a PlayStation ad that was in really like gross taste some time ago. And yeah, this is.
Or there was it back when they had there was some zombie game where they offered a bikini clad torso that you could pre-order.
Like that was weird. Yeah, you're right.
Because,
right.
You know, and it's a slippery slope.
Metal Mayhem in our chat says, "Too long, didn't read. We made a dumbass joke and we got called out. Sorry." Yeah, pretty much. They did. So, anyway. Moving on. This is pretty exciting. Something I would like to attend. As much as y'all think I like hate this series, I really don't. I think the music is beautiful and I think the series is good. It's a Chrono Cross anniversary. I don't know why. I'm sorry. The header is incorrect on Twitch. It should say Chrono Cross. Sorry about that. But anyway, November 18th is the 20th anniversary of Chrono Cross. And to celebrate this, there's going to be a live concert tour that's going to kick off in November. And it's unfortunately, the tour is Japan only. Oh. So it's Tokyo, Osaka, Aichi. So, yeah, sorry. Not going to be coming to the U.S., at least not yet. But you know what? Dear friends, that Final Fantasy concert started as Japanese only thing. It was that, what, like 2002 or something event.
And they just like combine the two together and it's like some Square Enix Music Fest.
There's all sorts of that orchestra stuff these days. But anyhow, the full title of what is going to be put on is the Chrono Cross 20th Anniversary Live Tour 2019 Radical Dreamers. So that sounds like that'll be pretty cool, I think. So a nice way to celebrate that series. And let's not forget, like, Chrono Cross is the series that brought us that song Scar of Time. I wish I had that queued up on B-roll. Sorry, guys, I don't have it queued up to play. But if you don't know that song, go look it up, Scar of Time from Chrono Cross. It's a beautiful, like, I would pay the money just to hear that song. It's that fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, anyway. That'll be really cool, and hopefully it'll do well enough where it will come to America. And again, I apologize for the typo there on the Twitch sidebar. I must have been working fast, and I was putting in the headlines. I was just like, Chrono Trigger! So there you go. And sadly, with Bobby off tonight, usually he'll fix my mistakes as we go, and I don't have that safety net tonight. So sorry about that. No biggie, though. Those of you on the podcast didn't see it. All right. going to chat for some comments. S200 Matt says, Chrono Trigger, Cross, it's all good. Yeah, right. Akuma JP says, I love Cross. Yeah, a lot of people really do. JD says, it's really interesting to me that it's a Japan-only tour, but they announced it in English because you know they're going to sell a soundtrack. They're going to sell a soundtrack or to be on Spotify, or maybe they will do a LA E3 event or something. Who knows? Who knows? Anything's possible, I guess. And Dark Tetsuya says, worst comes to worst, maybe Tommy Tallarico could add something to Video Games Live. I'm almost positive Scars of Time was in his repertoire as it was. That song had to be. I know the Kingdom Hearts anthem, like from the early game, was in, because that was at the one I went to, and I was very verklempt because they actually put it to the Disney music. And I believe when Tommy was on this show or one of the shows he's on, he's, you know, obviously a big talking guy and he's great. He kind of talked about how Disney wasn't really into the idea until he like showed it to them, and then they were like, "Yep, signed." Basically, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, and cutting a lot of corners. I'm sure there's a YouTube out there somewhere where he probably talks about it, but like Disney wasn't on to the whole like orchestral music thing, and it wasn't that. It was because they were going to use Disney footage, because they don't actually show footage from the game; they show footage from Disney movies. So they had to get the rights to that, because you're basically, you know, charging people, you know, and all that stuff. And so at first they were like, kind of, we don't get it. But then when he like showed it to them, easy peasy. And so, you know, all those years ago, which, by the way, if you didn't already know, I think I mentioned on the show before, Video Games Live was when I met Alan for the very first time in person. How nerdy is that, right? We knew each other on LiveJournal, dating myself before that. But Video Games Live was when we first met each other in person. We were introduced by Captain Spike. I saw that live in person. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. Made me very verklempt. May have cried a manly tear or two. All right. Anyhow, SG100 Matt points out Scars of Time is in the concert. At least it was when I went a few years ago. Yeah, obviously they're always adding and deleting stuff because there's, you know, tons of games. But I know that has at one point been in the repertoire. So, okay, moving on. Let's talk about just a couple more stories for you guys tonight. And this one is an interesting one, right, Loki?
Yes, it is. So there's a brand new console ready to hit the market. You might say it's the best console out there. So it's a new console called an Otaku. And basically, it's...
Is this an Onion article? That's the first thing I want to know. Is this an Onion article?
Okay. It's an Otaku console. And Otaku is a hentai game storefront, basically. And they've got a brand new console that's shaped like a breast. For $169.99. And, of course...
I just realized its price is $169.
Yes, that is correct. They did that on purpose.
Are you sure this is not an Onion article?
I am sure it's not an Onion article. And so they have a silicone-covered breast where the nipple is the actual power button for the console, because, of course, it is. And it is basically like a PC. It's got USB ports, audio jack, external power supply, wireless internet.
I will not be risking this Twitch channel by showing you footage. You all got Google.
And it has a selection of pre-installed, free-to-play, and premium adult games loaded onto it. And they had, I think, 200... I can't remember how many consoles were available. It was like only a few hundred consoles. And they've already sold out. It says 200 games are available, and I don't remember how many units they sold, but it's sold out already on their storefront.
So, obviously, I'm going to ask this question here on the show, because you remember the old Wendy's marketing campaign,
yeah.
Where's the Beef, from the 80s?
Yeah.
So here's the part where I'm going to ask, where's the dick? If this console is successful, is that the...
Well, my question is, like, why only one breast? Wouldn't it be a pair? I mean, you'd think that...
Well, they want you to buy two, Loki.
Oh, they want you to buy two. Okay. Well, I mean, they do have, like, male... they do have homosexual, like, hentai games that are in there.
It wasn't a serious question. I really just said that for show. I will really be okay not having that. It's fine. But... Yay, equal opportunity. Woohoo.
But this is the day and age we are. See, we've gone from severed torso to breast console now.
This is going to be the breast console ever.
It's going to outsell the Ouya.
Now, I wonder how live streamers are going to be able to do... does that break Twitch rules? I don't feel like finding out tonight.
Does it break Twitch rules? Yes, it's all hentai games, so I'd imagine you cannot stream those on the internet.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Should have known that.
You know, Pornhub's getting into the game streaming.
So you will have to play them in the privacy of your own home with the shades pulled. Speaking of pulling, JD in chat says, every joystick is a dick, TBH. Video games are innately gay. Oh, I never realized that, I suppose. All right.
But they have, like, a pretty interesting, like, video of actually showing how they, like, design it. It's pretty...
they do this whole, like... Food Network Unwrapped, like, here's the factory and how we're making these boobs.
It's very high quality. I mean, let's put it that way, but it's ridiculous. I'm expecting to see this on Soulja Boy's marketplace at some point. You know,
no, bite your tongue.
Soulja Tit or something like that.
All right, moving on. One more story for you guys tonight, and then we're going to go to Discord to take some calls. So if you would like to call into the show tonight, if you are not yet on our Discord, you can be over at vognetwork.com/Discord, and you're going to join the green room, and that is where you can wait to call into the show. If you want to improve your chances of getting picked, you might want to tell us in the Orange Lounge radio channel what you'd like to call into the show about tonight. We'll be going to those shortly. But first, I'm sure some of you were wondering when we would get to this story. And yes, it is about if you thought the boob thing was funny, here's another one. It is a video game that is called Pekken. It is a PlayStation 1 styled fighter, and it looks like Tekken, obviously, but it stars birds.
That's yes. Right.
This is from Stories Untold, developer No Code, because and I guess this has also been called Beak Fighter 2, Beaks of Rage, but they've settled on the name Pekken. So there is a little video that's floating around the internet where you can kind of see a little little prototype of Walter Peck against Jackie Bird fighting each other. And I guess they said once work on this no-code game called Observation is done, Pekken would be turned into an actual proper game as long as they got 10,000 retweets. And I think they were up to 7,000, but as of the time of this show, it's up to almost 12,000. So Pekken sounds like it's going to be a thing. Of course, it will take time to develop. It just because there's a prototype out there doesn't mean it's done yet. So
this is how we got Goat Simulator, because Goat Simulator was just like a fuck around thing that we're doing between games, and everyone's like, I need that as a game, and then it became insanely popular.
Dark to see you in chat says, I wish Dark Sakura had been here, for I know she's all about Hatful Boyfriend, so that is a fighting game, maybe. And you may have forgot, she also loves Tekken. She used to play, I think it was Tekken 3 at the arcade, like a lot back in the day. She was kind of known as that girl who's good at Tekken in her local arcade. So, interesting. She's not here to give her perspective, but I'm sure she would be a big fan of that news. So, SG100 Matt points out, yeah, this sounds like how Goat Simulator got started. Was that also, what is the game that's coming to the Switch everybody's excited about? Asshole some animal. Asshole goat, asshole.
Oh, you're talking about the goose one?
Untitled Goose. That's it.
It's Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, because they changed the name of it. Everybody was calling it Asshole Goose, right?
Yeah, they have that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Was that a similar making, too?
I
thought it was.
I don't remember if that was.
Nonsensical, crazy sort of
thing. They have that, and there's one that I want to play that's, and I didn't even realize it's the same guy that did this, but they have Mosh Pit Simulator, which is a game that's done by the guys, guy that did McPixel, which I used to love McPixel. It's a really weird game, but apparently he's doing this Mosh Pit Simulator, which is like this VR physics. Just it's like Ghost Simulator, but it's just all sorts of weird, fucked up shit. But it's something I really want to play on PlayStation VR because I don't have a VR set for my PC. But I got to play that game. It's out actually now, but it's in early access.
Going to the chat for some other comments, which, by the way, we're going to go ahead and open up the Discord. Nobody's in the green room yet, so it's fine. I know it's a little bit of a harder week because a lot of people are out tonight watching football and stuff, but I will still leave it open to see if anyone wants to get in. But otherwise, I'll keep reading chat comments, and then maybe we'll see if we have any last-minute stories. But a question from Metal Mayhem, who's kind of asking about Tekken sorts of things. Metal Mayhem says, speaking of Tekken, I remember hearing that Tekken Cross Street Fighter was announced a while back as a companion game to Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Whatever happened to that? It was. You're right. It was.
I don't know. Never happened.
There was a couple screenshots, and it just never happened. And I don't think it was ever canceled, but it's probably one of those things where they would have had to have started over because development.
Well, they
was
rolled.
On
I think
PS3.
They rolled the engine maybe into Tekken 7 or something like that.
That's what I'm saying is they kind of made Tekken 7 first, and then maybe that's going to be the next game. Finally,
I don't know. Or maybe, I don't even think it matters anymore.
At this point, they might as well sit on it until PlayStation 5 or next Xbox and that whole thing.
It'll just become its own thing. It'll be like Street Fighter Cross Tekken 2 or something like that.
Oh, SG100 Matt kind of echoes what I just said there, is that they made it seem like they want to wait for the next-gen console, which might not be the worst idea at this point. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting E3 this year because Sony is essentially sitting it out, and we've kind of heard rumblings, and it's certainly, here's my favorite word, plausible, that Sony, simply all of their first-party development is working on the new console, so they quite frankly has nothing to show this year. They're going to carry on third-party support for end of life for PlayStation 4 and then drop PlayStation 5 on us in 2020. Again, theories, rumors, forum posts, but it would make sense. You know, these next gen more HD-er games and they're going to take some time to develop. So these, you know, first party games have to be being worked on already. So I'm sure Sony is working on something, just like Microsoft gobbled up all those studios. And you bet each one of them is probably working on something for the next Xbox / Windows. So it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be a very exciting E3.
This year? Not unless Nintendo really surprises us or Microsoft may decide.
That's what I meant, Microsoft, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft can kind of do it. It's gonna be a weird year this year with gaming news.
You don't have a lot that...
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Any last-minute stories we want to get to tonight?
Not much.
While we wait for calls on our Discord?
There's a post here talking about Costco in Canada is clearing out PlayStation Classics for $30. So if you live in Canada and
I don't know the
have a Costco membership
exchange rate, but that's got to be getting down to like 25 US. So
it's pretty cheap. Walmart's in Brooklyn, New York had it for 25 a week ago.
Yeah, that was that whole screenshot that was out there. Yeah, the boy oh boy. Yeah. PlayStation Classic.
I'm looking forward to get down pretty cheap. I've been keeping my eye open because like for if it's down like to 25, I'll bite at that just because.
I mean, this might be a very obvious question, but let me ask it anyway. Where do you think Sony went wrong? What could they have done to not have this console end up in clearance
bin so soon? They cheapened out on it too much. They cut corners on the hardware that runs it, so it didn't emulate the games well enough. And they also cut corners on the games that they're emulating on there because the game's running in the PAL version, so they just hurried through all that crap. They just cut a lot of corners, and it was just really cheap. It should have been, like, a better selection of games. They should have had DualShock controllers, not necessarily just the original PlayStation ones. And I understand, because it's, the original PlayStation class, had those controls. But, no one fucking remembers the original PlayStation controllers. Just like if you were ever to do a PlayStation 3 classic, don't fucking go, it's six-axis controllers without rumble, because that's how the original controllers were. You gotta just put a good, you're trying to make a good impression and you just cheapen that shit out. And so now you kind of like the next console that they try to release, if they even release another one, people are just going to be very skeptical on it. And you can't tell me like they couldn't have done some better hardware. I mean, shit, PlayStation TVs that were like $30 could easily emulate that shit.
I know.
Like just put some storage on there and a new front end and run it in there instead.
It's really irritating how that PlayStation TV really should have been like bigger than it was.
And they didn't even develop their own like emulator for it. They have their own in-house emulators for that shit, I'm sure. Like Nintendo developed their own emulators, but they relied on some open source things. So it's just they cheapened out in every possible way with that, and that's what bit them in the ass.
All right. Some of our regulars are in the green room wanting to get on here, so why don't we check in real quickly with some of our regular callers, and we'll get to our first caller tonight. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Metal Mayhem. How are you?
Hello. Doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Well, this is just going to be a short, quick call real quick. Do you remember what the game that you first played or saw that got you into gaming?
Good question. The first game you played or saw that got you into gaming. Now, keep in mind, we're going to go back. I'm 40 years old, so it's a ways back. But as cheesy as it is, I have early memories of like combat on the Atari 2600. And because that was the pack-in game for the Atari 2600, right? And I was really fascinated by the concept that, like, you could control what was happening on the TV. That, as a kid, to me, that was, like, the part that kind of, like, blew my mind. Because usually it's like you watch these cable channels and everything is being, fed to you, whatever, You know, because we did have basic cable in the 80s. It wasn't as much as it is now. Yeah. But there was, you know, the basic stuff, like CNN and MTV and all that stuff. So, you know, and I, like a lot of people growing up, I watched things like Nickelodeon and MTV and stuff. And it was like, you know, you just would see that. But to, like, be able to put my hand on this controller and actually now I'm making what's on the TV was like, kind of what sold me on it.
I don't even remember. Yeah. It was like, I know my dad had purchased, like, a ColecoVision and stuff. And I assume it was during, like, the whole video game crash, because I know that stuff was, like, dirt cheap. I remember going to the malls and seeing, like, dump bins with all that stuff in there. But we have, like, 40-some games, which is funny from, like, a person that he says he's not in, he wasn't in the gaming. We had a console with 40 games. I don't see how that's possible that you weren't in the gaming somehow. But I don't know how he got it so cheap or bought all that stuff, but I just remember playing the ColecoVision, and that was just kind of, I don't know. I don't remember the exact moment, but, like, it was just, I was around games from early age.
And then I remember at 5 years old, my family got a Commodore 64 because my dad was actually an electronics guy in high school and college. He ended up working for trains. He was a conductor in freight trains up until he retired. So he never really, like, used that type of electronics training. I mean, I guess some of that probably comes into play in his role. Because, again, he was conductor, but for freight. So a little different than the conductors you think of on trains. Usually, like, take it, please, a little different. But anyway, my point is, because he was in electronics, certainly, like, that was his hobby. Which is funny, because now, look, here's his kid. I studied radio and TV and broadcast journalism in college and then decided I don't really want to do that. But yet, here I am doing my passion project on the side that kind of, like, what I went to college for is now, like, this, what you see now, and not what actually pays my bills, which is kind of funny how that worked out. But my dad was the one that kind of pushed to get a Commodore 64 because he's always kind of been into electronics. So I remember first seeing it, they thought, oh, let's buy a game that our kid will like. So they bought Jumpman Jr. was the first game I remember seeing on a Commodore 64. And I was just like, mind blown. It's not like, oh, I can play this thing. And then I was typing in programs, and, yeah, A Nerd is Born, starring Lady Roberts.
Well, then I even had, like, a TI-89, I think, and so I know I got that at an early age, too. I mean, I don't know. I don't really, like, know where my family got a lot of this stuff. I just got it as a kid. I didn't really ask questions like that or why they even purchased that stuff, you know, because at the time, like, I wasn't really in the – I mean, I wasn't in the computers because – I don't think I even saw a computer at that point. Like, it was pre, like, IBM home PCs and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like most people kind of, like, younger than us, like, games have always been there. And, like, JD, who I know is a little younger than I am, says, I can't remember what my first game was because I started so young. Earliest for me was probably Commander Keen, question mark. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, at a certain age, I know, Ragenator, you're kind of closer. Oh, excuse, sorry, Metal Mayhem, you're kind of closer to Loki and I's age. So, like, we kind of were right there when consoles were going into living rooms and things
like
that.
Or in arcades, like, you go to Chuck E. Cheese and stuff.
I do have an early memory of being, like, 4 or 5 years old and going to Chuck E. Cheese, and the game I remember playing is Crystal Castles with the ball.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, was so much fun to play that game. And I remember they had little step stools.
Yeah.
So that kids like me could see the screen.
I remember trying to play Dragon's Lair, and I just couldn't get it.
Oh, yeah. Those games were tough.
Because it was, like, so, like, it's like, wow, it's a cartoon, you know? And it's, like, it's fucking hard. I don't want to play this anymore.
Metal Mayhem, quickly, before I let you go, what was your earliest memory of video gaming? What was the first one for you?
Well, I have three answers for you. To echo what you were saying, the first game that I ever actually saw was Combat on the 2600. My grandfather was, you know, my father was showing it off to my maternal grandfather, and I was like, wow. You can actually control stuff on TV rather than simply, you know, watching TV now. Sold.
Very, very similar story. Yeah, I think a lot of us feel that same similar way. Yeah, gotcha.
Then Chuck E. Cheese didn't show up to my area until, like, early 90s. But, you know, what we did have in my area was their competitor, Showbiz Pizza Place.
Oh, yeah, those are, like, the same thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I went there when I was, like, 6 years old, and I saw my – that's when I first saw my first arcade, and I fell in love, you know, with that place. I did not want to leave. And then very early I happen to be going with my father to some like appliance store in my area, and that no longer exists, but have on display an NES with Super Mario Brothers in it, and it was connected to a big screen TV.
That's yeah, when I first saw those displays in stores. That stuff was real. I always forget about those, but like, yeah, like that used to be a big thing in like malls and stuff, is that you'd have like the NES that was set up with like the games you can play for like 2 minutes before it resets so that the next kid can play. And like, even I seem to remember like drug stores around here, like places like Thrifty's had, and I could be mixing this up because again, I was very young, but these places had like Atari 2600 types of things too, where you could sample some of the different games, you know, any place that sold games wanted you to be able to kind of like sample them. There was no downloadable demos or anything like that. So yeah, I think today some places have those like GameStops, of course, all kind of have the latest consoles where you can still check that out. But those used to be much more prolific, I think, at different shopping venues.
Yeah, but their demo kiosks are never working. I know, because we visit GameStop today even, and they have like, it always fascinates me, my kids, they're like, we want to go to this GameStop. I'm like, okay, why do you want to go there? Well, we want to play in the demo kiosk. And then they go and play a demo kiosk to play like Super Mario Odyssey. I'm like, dude, you guys have this at home, okay? You have the full game at home. Why are you playing the fucking demo right now?
It's sometimes about just
they're playing. Today, Josh is playing Zelda because we don't have Zelda yet, and so that's fine. But like, even their PlayStation kiosk it was off. Their PlayStation and Xbox One kiosks were both off. They're always broken.
All right, well, Metal Mayhem, great question. I'm gonna let you go though, so we can get one more call. Okay.
All right. Have a good show.
You too. Take care. All right. So anyway, before we get back to get to the next call, I wanted to throw – this is a very hyper-local reference, but I know you'll remember this place. So sorry, guys. I'm going to get really local for you Sacramento people out there for a minute. Do you remember Sam's Town?
Yes.
I miss that place so bad. So there's this little – it was up the road in a town. I was in Cameron Park, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of like up the road a little bit, because, you know, we're about 90 minutes away from Tahoe. So I would say you go about 30 minutes up the
highway.
It used
to be like a big attraction too, because like my mom used to go there on the way to Tahoe.
Yeah.
And they would stop at
Sam's. A lot of Bay Area people, that would be like a big stop for them as they're making their way up to the hills. And it was like this big arcade, but they also had like, you know, I remember they had like a little candy store. It was like a real,
yeah.
I miss that place. I don't know.
Well, and like they had like, was it the Mine Shaft?
A shitty pizza restaurant, yeah.
Yeah. I remember going to Sam's Town like at least once to go hang out there and eat pizza and do all that, but that was pretty much the only time.
Arcades just aren't what they used to be.
Now it's like a Safeway or something.
Yeah, oh no, that building that had Sam's Town, like, long gone, yeah. Depressing. Do I still have it? I might have it still on my keychain to this day. I think I do. I sure do. Look at this. Maybe I should show this on the camera for those. Sam's Town right there. Mm-hmm. There's a little, it's one of those little like coins there, and I still have it on my keychain to this day. That's how much I love that place. Let me see if I can show it here for you guys that are watching on Twitch. I don't know how well that's going to come through on the camera, but that's my little collection there. So little piece of it with me still to this day. And yes, it's that old, but you know,
they need to open up like another like family fun center type place like that. 'Cause we don't really have any. We have, like, the Scandia and the Roseville Golfland stuff, but I've always said that they should have, like, I think it would be really successful as, like, an indoor water park, because, you know, during the summer, obviously, you make your money with the water parks and everything like that, but an indoor water park, you can run that shit in the middle of the winter, too, and so...
They're building one of those, the chain, the Great Wolf Lodge or whatever, they're building one in Manteca if they didn't already build it, because, you know, Manteca used to be famous for the water slides, they're building one of those, but it's, like, an indoor water park. They're building that there.
Yeah.
So, and they're
I'm driving those, the Manteca though for that shit, but
I know it's
fucking far away.
Yeah, right. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Somebody's been waiting in the green room patiently to get on, so let's be sure to talk to him. Hi, you're on Orange Songs Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Rama.
Hey, Rama. Good to hear from you, buddy. What's on your mind tonight?
Not too much. I want to clear up one quick thing that Loki said about a few minutes ago about the PlayStation Classic that was advertised, that was being shown around lately for like $35.
Yes.
There is no Walmart in Brooklyn.
Fine, it's Sam's Club then.
Well, it was a Walmart, but we have three Targets, and believe you me, I've been kind of looking, waiting for the price for it to drop down, because there was no way I was paying retail price for one of those.
Didn't that forum post say it was at a Walmart in Brooklyn?
It did, but
wow.
But then there was a comment below it said
there is no basement at the Alamo.
Well, it could have been Brooklyn, Maryland, but still, when you say Brooklyn, I'm like, wait. Did they put a Walmart in my backyard and I didn't hear about it?
Interesting. All right. Maybe. And, you know, it was one. Because that topic came up last week. And didn't I kind of say, like, I wonder if that was Photoshopped or like somebody's trying to pressure Sony to drop the price on that by posting something like that on Reddit. So interesting. Anyway, very interesting clarification. Thank you. Anything else you want to talk about tonight, though?
Something I wanted to talk about from, like, I think last week, a week before last show, and one of the articles you discussed, be talking about buying digital copies of games and physical copies of games.
Right.
Now, up until I got my Xbox One and PlayStation 4, I would not buy a used game. I want it in a nice, pristine condition. I want the game disc to be perfect, you know? But now it's like, well, I can either buy it used, I mean, buy it new for $60 or buy it used for $30. The label and the disc cover is fine. The disc itself is not scratched. Why not? Because we're at that point where the games are being installed on the hard drive and it's playing off that. So basically the disc will stay in a pristine condition unless you find yourself having to uninstall and reinstall the game over and over again. If you have to do it on a console, something might be wrong with your system.
Well, yeah. Also consider the fact that Blu-ray media has better protection from scratches on there. It's less prone to that because of the basically the way they make them now versus like a CD or DVD, which are very prone to scratching. So you have, you know, the fact that it's more durable on top of the fact that also it's running off of the actual hard drive and not so much the disc. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, remember that generation, yes, 360 was DVD, but the PS3 was Blu-ray, and you still kind of ran into that issue. And then when I'm looking for used games, I'm like, okay, if they have it for $19, let me see if I can find it for the same price, brand new on Amazon. And 9 times out of 10, I did. Now it's like, well, the disc is fine. It ain't scratched. I've already heard horror stories of people getting the scratched Kingdom Hearts 3 games. I'm like, I am so sorry, but you know. But if it's fine, I'm like, you know what? If it's fine across the board and I get to save $20, so be it.
You know what's interesting, though, about this whole, like, digital thing, too, because that kind of conversation has kind of re-entered a lot of people's minds this week because that news came out about the Ultraviolet service is closing.
Yeah.
And so people had movies on there. Now, granted, there is a way you can transfer, I guess, licenses to one of the other movie services. Mm-hmm. I might have, like, a movie on that service. Like, I think somebody bought me Resident Evil on Blu-ray, and so I have it, like, there.
I have about maybe 10 or 15 titles that are Ultraviolet. I just give them to my friend. I'm like, look, I have the physical disc. Mm. Here's a code for the download. Enjoy. So
that's an interesting way to do it. That works. But yeah, but that's closing. So a lot of people are like, oh, there's a reminder why you don't do digital, because you could lose your whole movie collection just like that. Although, you know, to be fair, again, you know, they're letting them transfer those to other different movie services. Like one of them was movie phone or whatever that thing is. Not movie, the other one, Fandango. I didn't even know they had Fandango, like an online movie watching thing, but I guess why not?
They do, but I barely paid any mind to. I mean, I think they actually have a Roku channel as well, so it's like, oh wow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roku does have a channel, but their channel is like, they have like streaming marketplaces in Roku, but like they have a Roku channel. It's just like old ass TV shows, like they have Short Circuit and like old TV series that you never want to watch, and I don't know,
the things
I go through there every now and then, like, oh hey, I want to watch that, and my wife's like, no we're not watching this.
All right.
And I mean like one game I picked up for the PS4 that I said this was going to be a day one purchase when I got it was The Order 1886. I understand people crapped on the game. I like first person shooters. I like steampunk. This is right up my alley.
Sure.
I could have either bought it off of Amazon for like $40 or $50, or I could just drop $7 on a digital copy, which I did. I'm like, you know what? Times like this, I will save that. But there are those like those limited edition games, certain Japanese titles that come out and it's like, well, on the store, it's $7-$8. Physical copy, it's going to run you some cash. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to buy it and just going to put the case on the shelf to show that it's there.
It will be interesting, though, if when the PlayStation 5, you know, going back to that rumor, big rumor that came up earlier, let's say PlayStation 5 comes out and it is completely backwards compatible with all the older PlayStations, Sony finally kind of gives into that feedback. It would be very interesting what the digital purchases might do. And again, this is all pie in the sky fantasizing stuff. But what that might do is that, okay, great. If you bought it digitally on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, there it is in your library right now, ready to go. And that could be a feather in digital's cap where they've been getting knocked, you know, a lot in other places lately. So anyway, but Rama,
I am all for that, you know, but you know what? Let's end the conversation here, because if I keep going, let's just end the show.
You know what, Rama? It's almost like you could have your own show to talk about these types of things. No, we always...
Yeah, but we don't really talk about that type of stuff.
I know,
it's different. Unless Ari brings it up. And I'm like, well, I guess this kind of covers... I'll add it to the list.
All right, yeah. You know what? Sometimes tangents are going to happen. How long did the pancake and waffle thing go on tonight? So, you know, it happens. All right. Anyway, Rama, always great to hear from you. Anime Jam Sessions Tuesday, hosted here at the VOG Network. Thank you so much, Rama. It's always good to hear from you, buddy.
No problem. Loving you guys.
Take care. All right. Anyway, let's see. I guess that's about it. We didn't really have any other calls standing by tonight, so we're gonna start to wrap up the show. I know it's a little bit earlier, but I think with the whole football-y stuff going on. Although I see Bobby joined us in chat. I guess Super Bowl stuff.
I think football's over.
Well, no, I know football's over, but now like the post-football stuff is over because everybody's got to finish off the 7-layer dip before they leave the house. And that
go
stuff.
Through all the layers.
Yeah. Bobby joined chat and says the show was probably more entertaining than the Super Bowl. So there you go.
They didn't play sweet victory, so you know everybody's disappointed.
Did the Super Bowl have pancakes versus waffles debate? I don't think so. Well, we did. Oh, anyway. Hope you guys had a good time tonight, no matter what you're doing. I know plenty of people are going to listen to this throughout the week on the podcast feed and so forth. So I hope you guys had a good weekend and Sunday night, whatever it was you were doing, if you were watching us or that other thing that was on TV as well, meaning the Puppy Bowl, of course. Anyway, let's see. Going to wrap it up, I guess. Check in and see if anybody has any final thoughts. Before I get to final thoughts, of course, I always like to plug, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't put those voices out there unless they're here to share. So help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. Some of you guys have been really great about that on Twitter recently, by the way, and I just want to say I see you and I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I think the Twitch and all that stuff is making it even easier to share, and so I really appreciate all that stuff. All the hosts, of course the biddies and the subs, but you know the stuff that helps get the word out goes a really long way as well. So I just want to say thank you for all of that. And of course a nice 5-star review on iTunes. That still doesn't hurt. Those are very nice to have. So we appreciate those or wherever it is you found this show. So that all being said, it's time to collect the final thoughts. My final thought tonight is I have 2 episodes of Star Trek to catch on still. So I think I'm going to have a Star Trek bowl at my house after the show tonight. Because I hear this season of Discovery is pretty darn good. So
and then you need to watch
the first episode.
The Good Place.
I need what?
To watch The Good Place.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, my gosh. All this stuff I've got to binge. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's my final thought tonight. How about you, Loki?
My final thought is I'm hopefully going to stream some more this week, whether that be DDR or...
I love the Skyrim idea.
I wanted the Skyrim thing. I don't have it set up just yet, but I have it installed. I have some of the mods. I want more. I want it to be full of garbage. So we'll see about that. I have to see if that's stable and also set up, you know, an actual camera set up for that. So... I don't know if I'll get that ready in time. If not, there's always I could play Kingdom Hearts 3 using the Twitch app on my PlayStation Pro. So I could do streaming of that. We'll see. We'll do something this week.
Yeah, I've been really bad on my personal streaming, like, but that's because I've been putting a lot of my energy into doing this with OLR, but I need to get back on my personal channel and do some streaming there too. So, yeah, look forward to that. And thanks you guys again so much for supporting Orange Lounge Radio, and we'll do it again next week.
Yep.
Sound good? All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.